about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I've been looking at our utter and complete lack of experience as a positive thing, but I'm starting to think it might actually be a problem.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm too sexable for my shirt. Too sexable for my shirt. Too sexable for my shirt.
Turn that song up. That's my jam. Boo, 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 boo.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying. It all sounds so crazy to me.
I can't get your song out of my mind. I haven't felt this way since Funky Town.
And now, that's your podcast, of course. Doug Loves Movies.
Our feature presentation.
That's some good music right there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We should be playing that underwater song, whatever that is.
That's our boy, formerly known as the Gillionaire or Jillionaire, now known as GMZ Faux Show, that we had a chance to talk to while you're on vacation a couple weeks ago. But that's one of his great songs. He has, you know, we've played, Dem Pants, and we played a little bit of I'm the Best.
Birthday,
of course, yeah. Spend some time on his YouTube channel, and you'll find out that this guy has a very deep catalog, though. He very rarely misses, I tell you. I like him. I like him a lot.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Thursday, the 4th of April.
You missed Lisa May throwing a big tantrum before you came in, Kevin.
Oh, I love it. What happened?
She was practically throwing things on the floor. She was so upset.
All right.
Well, this was yesterday, actually.
What went
it was
on?
Just one of those days where there was...
But you sounded like you were throwing a tantrum, even talking about it from yesterday.
I know.
You were so
I'm
upset.
Still so frustrated. It was just a crappy-ass day where it's too much to do, and and I had this food I wanted to cook, and I didn't have time, so then I just ate crap, and now I feel
so you
like
versus
crap.
Solving all your problems?
And my back is still sore from when I did something the other
Sweet.
Day, and I couldn't find my checkbook, and it was on the floor of my car, but I swear to God, I had it in my hand in the house. But obviously I didn't because it was on the floor in my car.
She's
so
losing
how
it.
Yeah,
could
she's I even remember it. Having it in my hand? So I'm throwing stuff at home and Boner's looking at me
okay.
like, what the
All
hell?
Right. Step away from the microphone, lady.
Not
awfully
happy.
Cranky.
I'm not happy.
Not happy at all.
Don't,
wow.
Don't even start with me.
A lot of little stuff. Nothing real big, though.
I know. It's
all right.
First
no
world
one talk-
trouble.
No one talk about Lisa's boobs or anything today, all right?
Thank
She's
you.
Not in the mood for that.
A couple days ago, I wanted to cook something and I couldn't.
Oh, man.
You should have seen me. I went off.
You don't know, man. You weren't there.
Kevin, have the lever standing by near your right hand in case we need to put her in the basement later.
Okay. It
sounds like she may need a visit downstairs if you get my meaning. Let me bring this up. We've talked about it a little bit off the air in the office, but I'm serious to hear curious to hear what your guys' thoughts are on this. Not an April Fool's joke. This was for real. This announcement from Samoan Air that they are going to start charging people via their weight. You're going to pay based on how much you weigh to fly on their plane. Airlines don't run on seats. They run on weight, and particularly the smaller the aircraft you are, the less variance you can accept in terms of the difference in weight between passengers. So they're going to start charging a flat fee somewhere. I don't know how it's a flat fee.
It's a fat fee.
A flat fee of between 50 cents and $2 per kilogram, depending on the destination. So you get weighed and your luggage gets weighed, and then they see what your overall weight is, and then that's how much you pay to fly. Good idea or bad idea? Please discuss.
I don't know. It seems reasonable.
I think it's a good idea, but I feel bad for people who – look, there's a certain amount of people who really can't control their weight.
It's true.
Especially Samoans.
That's true.
And that sucks. And there's a certain amount of people that really can't do anything about it.
Right.
I don't think that's the majority. But
well, there's also people who are 6'6 that can't control the fact that they're that tall.
Right.
They're
going to
weigh more than a girl who's 5 feet tall.
But they're also using up more weight and more gas.
Right.
I mean, we do – this is how we pay to send things via, you know, the post office, for instance. You send a package. If it's a 20-pound package, it costs less to weigh than a 100-pound package. I mean, we accept that because we know that that's the cost of, you know, handling. And like you said, Kevin, gas and space and everything else. I mean, I weigh 190 pounds roughly, 192 pounds, something like that. I'm going to pay a lot more than Lisa to fly. Is it fair that I would pay the same amount to fly the exact same flight sitting next to each other in the same size seat? That's another way to look at it.
Yeah.
I'm paying more than she is.
Well, you should, because she's hot. That's how it should work on heat.
But here's my question.
How exactly do they do that? They put a scale right there at the entrance to the walkway?
With your luggage, most likely.
All right, fatty, step right up. Then they step on it. Ding, 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 ding. Every 100 pounds. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Of course, like, being based on how much I pack, maybe we would pay the same.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true, depending if you're a light traveler or not. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it's like when you take your dog to the vet and you throw him on that throw him on that little scale. I hope they
that'll
would.
Never fly. I mean, that's a ridiculous way to do it. It's too embarrassing.
Well, it doesn't have to be displayed to everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It should. That was what I'm saying.
In fact, it doesn't even have to. I mean, it doesn't even have to be displayed to anyone, because they could just have it hooked up to some sort of thing that translates that weight into the cost, and the cost could just come up on the screen. For that matter. You know what I mean?
So you would pay
maybe... It's all my suitcase. I swear to you, I have a heavy suitcase.
You would pay a base price for your ticket, and then they would tack on whatever they needed to at the airport, I guess.
That's possible. It doesn't say that here. It just says, they would have a flat fee, but it doesn't say where, how it would be, whether there'd be a base fee to start with, or if it's just, you don't know what you're paying. And how would you... I mean, I guess you'd have to, Lisa, because you have to buy a ticket in advance for a lot of flights, and then they'd have to adjust accordingly. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how it works. I don't know if it has started yet, but the announcement is for real, and they say they're going to do it. By the way, just as a PS here, I mentioned this is Samoan Air, and of course, many people other than Samoans fly the airline, but 91.1% of Samoans are 15 and over are overweight.
Wow.
91%.
No wonder they're doing it.
I know. It really does make sense. I mean, the pilots are probably too big, too.
Yeah, you're right, because especially if it's a small plane and enough fat people get on, I mean, I'm sure you're standing there at the door sometimes. You go, we've only got 8 people on this plane, but seriously, we shouldn't put any more weight on.
Right.
You're right. Well, they probably are just puddle jumper planes anyway.
Yeah, a lot of them are little ones, right? Yeah. So, well, we'll keep an eye on this and see if it works for them. What the response is from the public, and if it catches on as an idea.
I can see why they want to do it. I'm just not sure how they would pull that off. It seems like it would be rough on certain people. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We've been on a lot of adventures together, but it seems like you haven't learned anything.
That's correct. Dr. Drew will be on the program. We talk to him every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You called the police on a family member. We talked about this on, was it Monday?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday. If somebody that you knew in your family perhaps called you and said, hey, murder.
Murder.
Sorry about that. I need some help with the body. What do you do? Depends on who it is. Depends on if it's your immediate family. Do you call the police?
You know, when you see it in the movies, you always go, no, 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 call the police. This will not end well.
Right.
But God, if you're really in that situation.
If you're in that situation, I think it would be a little harder.
Yeah, I do too.
Internet Roundup today. Got a brand new one of those for you. We have Michelle Navarrete. Now, we have been playing highlights of My Strange Addiction for quite some time. We love that show.
Mm-hmm.
She's addicted to drinking blood. And we just recently played highlights of her episode, and she lives in the area and wants to talk to us about the drinking blood thing.
So, does she think we got something wrong?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if she just heard we were talking about her or what, but she wants to talk about drinking blood. So we said, okay, good enough.
She sure drinks a lot of blood,
too. She does. She does. She drinks human blood. Just, she drinks pig blood.
She just pours a big, tall glass like you or I would of iced tea or milk or something like that. Just drink. I mean, this is not just a sip.
No. Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille will be in the studio.
Yeah.
From the Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings, talking about visiting the White House a couple days ago.
He has to be one of our favorite foreigners, right, Luke?
Oh, he's the best, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, he's not American or anything, but I mean,
he's not. Yeah,
for a foreigner, he's a good dude.
Right, I agree. We also have your How You Like Me Now tickets in the front row. That's right up close. Not the front row, but the How You Like Me Now section for April Foolishness. And we're going to give you a chance to win those coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik.
That is Rise Against. We've got AWOL Nation on deck. Also some Nirvana, Kevin's favorite, the Lumineers, and Linkin Park. It's all on the way here on the world famous K-Rock for a Thursday. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Here's your update with your Justin Bieber monkey news. Germany has told Justin Bieber he has just a month to pick up his monkey.
Is that code, or are we still talking about his
still
pet?
Talking about his pet, Capuchin monkey. Authorities there in Germany took away his 14-week-old monkey named Molly for not having the proper documentation, namely the health and species protection certificates needed to enter Germany. Boy, those Germans sure like their papers, don't they? It's all done. Where you come from and what do you got? Mally was being kept in a shelter. Additionally, the shelter there, by the way, says that Mally is disoriented and is too young to be away from its mother.
Aww.
So it shouldn't have been really made a pet anyway.
This is sad.
If Beaver doesn't present the proper papers, the monkey will be placed in a permanent shelter with experience that rears groups of young capuchins, motherless orphans, and Beaver will likely face a fine. Good man, that Beebs.
What do you think the chances are he'll go back to the
monkey? I don't think he's going to pick up the monkey.
I don't either, no.
Soon. I think the monkey's going to live in the Berlin monkey house.
I hope they take him there today rather than wait for Beaver.
Me too.
And then if Beaver does show up, they put him in the monkey place.
Word! Zing! Pow!
Right.
Yeah. More Beaver news. British supermodel Jordan Dunn said that she was, not pleased with Bieber when he allegedly told her, "You've got nice..."
Really?
T-word for boobs. Apparently, the incident took place last year when she was in rehearsals for the Victoria's Secret show.
"I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man."
Jordan was talking at a British talk show, and she said, Bieber said, "You've got nice tees," then added, "You flashed me in my dancers and made our day." Dunn said her reaction was only just to cringe at what a punk he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a young bean.
He is.
He's how dare you? What did I do? Nothing to do with this.
Creepy Bieber's young bean. "I liked when you flashed to me in my dances. It made our day. I'm buzzed."
He probably said that. He ended with "I'm buzzed."
That's what he said. Oh, sad news for Flava Flav's fiance. That's the sad
news.
That's it? She's Flava Flav's fiance.
That was the story.
That's all you need to know.
No, apparently she was filming a couples therapy, the reality show over there on VH1, and she had to be rushed to the hospital. The network originally told E! News that it was due to an accidental overdose of painkillers. However, Flava Flav's reps have denied that story to TMZ.com, saying that Liz was suffering from exhaustion after filming all night long. You know how exhausting those reality shows can be.
Was she dehydrated, too?
Doesn't mention dehydration here, but she certainly was exhausted, so much so she had to be rushed to the hospital. As opposed to being rushed to a bed. Yeah, I think would be a better solution to the exhaustion issue. But
I can certainly understand needing painkillers if I'm engaged to Flava Flav.
Yeah. Zing, zing, pow.
Two zing pows.
More proof that Ellen DeGeneres is one of the nicest gals on daytime television. National Enquirer is reporting that she spotted a homeless woman in Santa Monica knitting and apparently was really impressed with her wares. So Ellen promised her she would send over an assistant to buy her her knitted products, and the woman broke into tears and said, "People say that all the time, but they never come back." So Ellen got on her phone, had her assistant come right over there and purchase everything the woman had made.
Wow.
And in conversation, she discovered that the homeless woman was a native of Louisiana, much like Ellen herself. So Ellen bought her a plane ticket back to Louisiana so she could go home.
No way!
How about that? Bean wouldn't give up his seat to a pregnant lady on a plane.
No.
Ellen DeGeneres is buying people tickets.
Oh, she's clearly better than I am. There's no doubt about that.
There is no doubt about that. Oh, you just said that. And TLC, as we know, the Freak Show channel.
Sure.
Has released a second spin-off series for Breaking Amish. You know, Breaking Amish, that's the one where the Amish and Mennonite men and women who have left their homes and go outside to find out what's in the world out there.
Rumspringa.
Rumspringa! Get your monkey back in the cage! the new series will be called Breaking Amish Brave New World, which will document the attempts that the folks from the original series make as they start new lives for them.
Oh, the ones who left, you mean?
Yeah, the ones who split from the Amish community for good. We will follow them as they try to make new lives for themselves. In what state of the United States do you think?
Florida.
Florida, is that exactly right? Give that man a stuffed bear. That's where they'll be putting down roots. So, the Amish in Florida. And this is sad news. Former Die Hard director John McTiernan turned himself in yesterday to begin a year-long sentence for lying to FBI agents in their probe of jailed Hollywood private detective Anthony Pelicano. This case has been gone for a long time, and they interviewed McTiernan, and he apparently lied on behalf of
Pelicano. Could he lie to you, Ralph?
The FBI.
You can't set yourself up like that, man. That's not cool.
He's taken to a federal prison in North Dakota, where he'll serve his time and then have 3 years of supervised release. So it's bad news for him. But the good news is he knows John McClane. So
that's right.
He might get busted out of jail
right
or something.
Out.
You know, yippee-ki-yay.
They seriously have it in for you if they send you to North Dakota for prison.
That's redundant. You go to North Dakota and then they put you in prison. It's the same thing, really. If you just live in a trailer. The same thing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Craig T. Nelson is 69 years old today.
From Parenthood, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Grandpa in Parenthood, right?
And also Poltergeist and Coach for many seasons. Sure. He was in that sitcom. Craig is a conservative Republican. I don't know if you've ever seen the clip of him.
I'm not
talking about Obama's failed policies.
No.
When he talked about that there's too much entitlement coming from the government. And he has the classic quote. I'll have to find it. I'll bring it in for next hour. Where he says, my mother was on food stamps and welfare. And nobody helped us. That's my favorite quote.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Well, I'm sure there's that side of it, too. Writer-producer David E. Kelly is 57 years old today. Actor Hugo Weaving, how good is he in everything he does? 53 years old. One of our favorites, David Cross, comedian soon to be seen in brand-new episodes of Arrested Development.
Can't wait.
How great is that? 49 years old. Robert Downey Jr. is 48. Magnus Svenkinson of the Cardigans. Oh, we got to bust out some Cardigans for later on today. He's 41 years old today. Magician David Blaine is 40. Actor James Rhode of Psych is 37 years old. And actress Natasha Lyonne, you know, from the American Pie movies and various mental health facilities. She is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
President of Business Operations for the Los Angeles Kings, Luke Robitaille, joins us next hour here on the Kevin Mead Show. Kevin, you know Luke pretty well. Do people have to call him Mr. President? Is that one of his roles?
Yeah, of course.
And can you look him in the eye?
No, you can't even look at his feet.
That's
weird.
That's tough.
You have to turn away and walk backwards.
No, what a diva.
Yeah.
Speaking of sports, big night at Staples Center a couple of nights ago. Shaquille O'Neal was back in town. I guess he still has a place here, but he was back in town being honored a ceremony to retire his jersey. There was a lot of love at Staples Center. I mean, look, Shaq is a major part of Lakers history, and I think people were excited to have him back in town, don't you?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
There were a couple of hiccups, though, in the ceremony. Kobe Bryant not coming out, for instance, is one that a lot of people were disappointed with. We wanted to find out what Shaq thought about the ceremony and the reception that he got and, you know, maybe getting the cold shoulder from his old teammate Kobe Bryant. So we thought we'd get him on the phone here. Producer Dave lined up Shaq for us, and he joins us now on the Kevin Devine Show. Hi, Shaquille O'Neal.
Kevin Devine, how are you going, man?
We're doing well. Congratulations.
Yeah. I was glad to see you bring Can You Dig It back.
Yeah, we can dig it.
We can dig it.
No, I thought it was rhetorical. You did bring Can You Dig It back. You did not bring Kobe How My Ass Tastes back, though.
Why are you taking my jokes, man?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
Because you were going to talk about Kobe, I was going to say his ass taste thing.
Okay. You had that bullet in the chamber already?
Already. Yeah, I'm
sorry.
I'll take that one out of the gun.
I didn't realize that.
So, why don't you go ahead and do the bit? I'll just sit here.
I don't want to do the bit at all. I just
asked Shaq, how do you feel about getting your jersey, Shaq? Tell me.
Shaq, how you feel about getting your jersey retired?
No, you do it.
No, but I'm serious, though.
It's great. It's great to be up in the rafters. Because that's where I usually play anyway. Who's in the rafters? Can you dig it?
Now, what about the fact that it's backwards? Your jersey is backwards. It's the front of a jersey with your name on it, and they're going to have to change it to the back of the jersey like the rest of them that are hanging up there.
Would you?
Your jersey's...
The jersey's not right?
Well, it's not right. It's wrong.
That's just disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to fix it.
Kobe did that. Damn you, Kobe!
I don't think Kobe had anything to do with that.
He did. He made sure the jersey was backwards. And now he's going to pay. No, Kobe's going to pay. Because I'm going to turn his head on backwards. And then when he goes, and then he's turning out, and it will work.
I didn't
I missed that part, too. Listen, you guys, he didn't come out for the ceremony, as we mentioned when we brought you on, Chuck, but you guys did speak privately in the tunnel as he was leaving the court at halftime. Can you tell us about what you guys spoke about?
Yeah, I was going to use a COVID my ass taste thing there.
Well, I think go ahead, because people could be just turning in.
COVID, how's my ass taste?
Oh, I
see. That's what I would have said there.
That's a great line, Shaq.
Yeah.
I can't believe you came up with that. That's great. So how do you find retirement? And this segues us nicely to our next topic.
I'm not retired. I'm just changed my line of work. I changed my line of work, that's all.
Oh, I see. You're still working. So you're still doing the cop thing for real? You still ride along? And
I'm still a cop. And I'm also a thespian.
You're a what?
A thespian. Oh.
Is that why you divorced your wife?
Actor. I'm an actor.
You're
right?
An actor.
Oh, actor.
Yeah,
actor,
saw you on Southland last night.
That's right. I was on Southland.
You were pretty good.
I
was sort of surprised you were pretty good.
No, I'm pretty good because I'm a pretty good actor, and I like talking about tickle bitties.
Yeah, you did mention that. That was one of your lines on the show last night.
Yeah. I love tickle bitties.
Let me play a clip. This is for real now. This is Shaquille O'Neal, who, as you know, he is Mr. Shazam, so he certainly has done some acting. And he plays a police officer who turns out to be friends. You went to the police academy with John Cooper, another character on the show. And here's what happens when you guys roll up on each other.
Johnny Crenshaw.
Earl Dayton. How you doing, man? It's my partner, Hank Lucero. Dayton and I go back to the academy.
Always knew one of us would end up a handsome gang detective, and the other would be John Cooper.
See, there you go, man, making people laugh.
John Cooper, how my ass taste?
I'm not sure it's very effective the third time.
I would use it every situation.
Okay. It does work. I like it. So will you be doing more acting? I mean, Southland, that's a very that's a well-respected, high-profile show. Is this going to be the start of an even bigger career for you, Shaq?
Yeah, I'm going to get a spinoff show. About Dayton, the detective, is going to my own show. It's going to be me in the fighting crime as the Detective Dayton, called Detective Big Boots.
Detective Big Boots.
Well, that's not finished yet.
They're working on the title. On that one.
But I do have brief feet.
Maybe you should go with How My Ass Tastes. I mean, that should be
Dayton, How My Ass Tastes.
There you go. That would be fantastic.
Yes, it would.
Okay, thank you.
Did you congratulate our little friend here, Chris Engler? You did not. From
sure
Whittier, he won tickets for Depeche Mode in the second row, ladies and gentlemen. That is how we do it here at the world-famous K-Rock. All this week, we are hooking you up with tickets up close to see Depeche Mode, September 28 and 29 at Staples Center. If you'd like to win yours, we have a chance for you to do so coming up between 8 and 9 this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Time for a brand-new Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Click on Kevin and Bean. We don't have time to highlight all of the videos that we put up, but there's a whole bunch of them, and they're all right in one location, so you can see them all. The first one is Mike Realm, who does the Modern Family remix. He takes Modern Family and does a complete remix with it. He's so talented, and he's going to be a part of our April Foolishness on Saturday night.
I'm excited to see
excited
what he's going to do.
I am not a hothead. I am Colombian. The very one. Wake up, wake, wake up. I am not a hothead. I am Colombian.
It is amazing to watch. You just look at it and go, I don't know how that guy does that.
I think eventually Mike Realm will remix everything, and you'll be able to watch all your favorite half-hour shows in 3 minutes.
That's true. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Imagine how many shows you could watch in a day if Mike Realm were running the networks.
We talked to Bruce Campbell about Evil Dead. He, of course, was in the first Evil Dead, and there was somebody that put a montage together of just him screaming from the first Evil Dead. Just him screaming, yelling at the top of his lungs. First part of it sounded like the Three Stooges a bit.
It did. You asked Jane Levy when we had her in a few days ago. She's, of course, the star of the new Evil Dead. If she had to scream as part of her audition, because if you're in a movie like this, it's important that you have those lungs.
Yeah, she said no.
She's weird. But then she's a great screamer. So awesome.
Big fan of Honest Trailers. This is the Honest Trailer for Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. Now needlessly converted to 3D. Revisit the adventure that launched your childhood obsession with dinosaurs and two really disappointing sequels.
All right.
That's about right.
But they left out my favorite part of the honest trailer, which is
fire beer mug.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part. Baby Sinclair from the Dinosaurs one-man show. Is this the April Fool's or not? Is this the Kickstarter bean? Do you know?
No. This is
Funny or Die. I think it is.
Funny. Oh, okay.
They did a bunch of Kickstarter parodies.
Oh, okay.
Where they were saying, "Please let us raise money."
Well, Winston, pledge $50 and receive a copy of my much talked about hardcore porn, Jurassic Pork. Please donate today. Give me your money. I need your money.
All right, take it easy. Yeah, I don't think anyone misses Baby Sinclair from the Dinosaur Show. But yeah, you're right, Kevin, because of Veronica Mars now, all the shows in the world are either for real talking about Kickstarter or there's parodies on the internet about, hey, bring back the show, please contribute.
How great and twisted was the movie American Psycho?
One of the best.
Just absolutely crazy. This one, they recreated a scene with Huey Lewis. I don't know if you remember seeing it, but they were talking about Huey Lewis in the news and playing his music.
Yes, I do remember.
While slicing people to death, and Weird Al is sitting on his couch a little drunk.
Hey.
Yes, Al?
Why are there newspapers all over the place? Is that like a Huey Lewis on the news joke or something?
No, Al.
Hey, is that a raincoat?
Yes, it is. Try parodying one of my songs now, you stupid bastard.
Starts hacking him to death with an axe.
I want a new duck. One that won't try to bite.
How dare you come down on the I want a new duck.
Want a new duck. That can't be one of his favorites, can it?
When I saw Al in concert a couple months ago, like I always do, and he incorporated some I want a new duck in one of the menus. It was awesome to hear it again.
That's a terrible song, let's be honest. Bob Costas was being interviewed about who his favorite MC is, and he said it has to be Ludacris because Ludacris is the only person that mentions, he name drops Bob Costas in a song.
And it's Ludacris talking about himself. I'd be rolling torpedoes, get blunted with Rostas, and for a hefty fee I'm on your record like Bob Costas. It was at that point, boys, where I said to myself, if I step off a curb right now and get hit by a bus, I've lived a full life. It's all good.
Finally, somebody whiter than us tried to rap.
I don't know if you've seen Kung Fu Grandpa in the in the Food Lion parking lot.
He's awesome.
It's an old dude. He's got nunchucks. And he's out in the middle of the parking lot, like, working them and practicing and kicking and swinging the nunchucks around. It's the most bizarre thing you'll ever see. And then there's a guy holding a camera that's doing play-by-play and describing what's happening to the guy or what's going through his mind as he's doing this in the parking lot.
Two nunchucks up in the air like Mary Lou Redden. Pow, behind the back. Mm-hmm. Bust your finger. That hurt. Uh-huh. Yep. Shake it off, homie. Shake it off. Yeah, buddy. Time to call it quits. Look like the devil won this round, folks. I had to get back in the car. Get me a Band-Aid.
You know what's awesome is the impression I got, and maybe I'm just creating this fictional backstory, is that this guy who's doing the commentary sitting in his car in the Food Lion parking lot doesn't know Grandpa with the nunchucks at all. Just happened to be in the parking lot and decided he was going to talk about it. And I just think it's hilarious.
And the guy did nail his finger so bad that he got back in the truck and left one of his nunchucks in the parking lot.
No.
And, you know, some things like that aren't really complete until they're songified.
Yep, that's right. I'm 58, 63 years old. Out here on the side of my pickup truck in the parking lot. I'm out here practicing. Yeah, buddy, getting ready for Easter Sunday. Jesus gonna rise up. I'm gonna whip the devil. Uh-huh, yep.
That's awesome. That's so good. We're listening to a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. If you're just joining us at KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com, all the great viral videos of the week in one handy location for you.
Jimmy Fallon and Jay Leno, apparently, they did the skit together. They're both supposedly singing. So it looks like Jay Leno is on board this time with the change and what's happening. He's going to end vacating the spot, and then Jimmy Fallon's going to take his place?
Yes, he claims he is voluntarily leaving after the Winter Olympics in February. So Jimmy Fallon is going to be doing the Tonight Show. And then we don't know yet. The rumors are that Seth Meyers is going to move into the Jimmy Fallon position. We'll see if that happens. And Jay Leno was supposed to be retiring, although there are already those who say that Fox is going to make a play for him, and he'll end up back on late night against the Tonight Show.
So Jimmy Fallon and Jay Leno are supposedly singing this.
Tonight, tonight, who's gonna host tonight? Is it gonna be Jimmy or Jay? Tonight, tonight, where will they tape tonight? In New York, will it stay in L.A.?
Pretty funny video.
Yes, that is Jimmy Fallon singing, by the way. And I think it is Jay Leno singing, too. I think it's both of them.
You think that's their voices?
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jimmy Fallon sings all the time.
I know,
but on his show,
he doesn't have an opera voice or whatever.
He sings really well.
I guarantee that's not Jay Leno.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
he's got to be mouthing it. Anyway, yeah. It's those two on screen. It's a funny video to watch. And one more Jimmy Fallon clip, which is the chicken ears, the all clucking version of Hey Ho. Not very different, if you ask me.
What's happening? And by the way, he has I knew I shouldn't have launched into this without having it in front of me, but he has what's his face? The country singer who's on the Voice.
Oh, yeah.
Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton is one of the chicken ears. Right. And also the great actor who plays Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec is also one of the other clucking ears. It's just one of those just like super random things of guys dressed in bird suits singing the Lumineers song. It's very funny.
It is pretty weird. That and a bunch of other videos, you can go to kevinandbean.com for the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
Her name is Michelle Navarette. She lives in Lancaster, California. She is a tattoo artist, and we're going to talk to her about that coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, yeah, and she's addicted to drinking blood, too. I forgot to mention that part. So that's on the way. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Hey, Ralph.
Rolling Stones have announced their new big tour, the 50 and Counting Tour, it's called. Because they've been around for 50 years.
Jeez. Right then.
Playing here in Los Angeles at the Staples Center in early May. Then they're going to hit arenas in Oakland, San Jose, Las Vegas, Anaheim, Toronto, Chicago, Boston, and close out with a show in Philadelphia on June the 18th. That's it for now.
I know Kevin mocks, but I saw them on that 12-12-12 concert. They came out and did a few songs, and they looked and sounded great.
Inexplicably great. It just boggles the mind. It goes against all reason that these guys should still sound and look as good as they do.
They do sound fantastic.
Later.
I agree.
It's insane.
But are they going to do I Can't Get No Satisfaction? Because I've heard that
probably
enough.
Will be on the set list. Yes, I'm guessing.
Are they going to do this?
You're the head, you're on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost.
Got to be honest, he's not sounding so good.
Now, Kevin, when you go to see the bands that you like, yes, like Rage Against the Machine as an example of basically an oldies band, don't you want to see them do the songs that you know and love?
Yeah, of course, but Satisfaction is it 50 years? That's the difference.
But if you're a Rolling Stones fan, you probably like Satisfaction or probably happy to see it.
All right, go. Enjoy. I'm not stopping you. I'm just not going.
It's just weird that you don't want them to do that song because it seems like a lot of people would be looking forward to that.
They will enjoy that, I'm sure.
Stones are playing Hyde Park on July the 6th. Last time they played there was a free concert in July of 69 after the death of guitarist Brian Jones. This time, the Hyde Park show will not be free. Tickets are $145 each.
Ouch. Is that true of Staples, too, in all the different locations? Are they?
Yeah, they're well over.
Madonna-esque?
Well over $150 in that region, so enjoy. Meanwhile, Justin Bieber was doing a show in Oslo. And it proved to be so popular that the Ministry of Education had to reschedule their final exams so that kids could go to the show and also get their exams done at the same time.
That's unusually cool of a school.
Their fear was that the kids would just go to the show and blow off their exams.
And that's what would happen. No question.
And so the education minister said, look, we've all been 14 years old and we know that interests can be intense. So we decided to alter the schedule of the testing so the kids could do both. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
That is cool.
More music news. Busta Rhymes in the news. That's right. I said Busta Rhymes.
You did.
He was in Miami on Tuesday night and stopped by a place called the Cheeseburger Baby, which is a restaurant in Miami. He showed up, didn't want to wait in line for his cheeseburger, and made a big stink about it. The owner told him that no one gets special treatment. It's certainly not Busta Rhymes. No, he didn't say that. But, and that he'd have to wait his turn. Busta went back to his car, sent one of his posse in to take his place and place the order, but when he got the food, Buston was so upset that they screwed up his order that he went back into the restaurant, started throwing a fit, throwing food, screaming and yelling. Owners called the cops, but Buston took off before they got there.
He's a big dude.
Owner did file a report, and Buston now could be facing charges of intent to murder a cheeseburger or something. I'm not sure what charges. There we go now. And you know every time but the bus be holding up for my spot. I'll be shutting it down. And we be putting on coming through like a steam over me and Drex. Ain't no effing around. Come on. Yeah, what up? Me and my team got a link because you know we stay chopping it
up. Maybe they just didn't understand him.
Maybe. He was trying to order.
Yeah. Way too fast.
They just added extra pickles. Congratulations to Heather Morris of Glee. She is pregnant with her first child. She just announced that she and her longtime boyfriend, Taylor Hubble, we'll be proud parents in a couple months, so congratulations. Like, can't wait to see that they worked that into the show. Not this surprised that Brittany would get knocked up on Glee, I think, given her nature.
It also seems like she's functionally retarded on that show. It seems like there'd be an investigation if somebody had sex with her. Like, she couldn't possibly consent, you know?
That's creepy.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm not being the creepy one. I'm saying it would be creepy for her to turn up pregnant on that show because then they would have to address the fact that she's having sex with somebody when she clearly is, you know, not mentally there.
But she's had sex with a bunch of people on the show.
Brittany has?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. She's the dumb one. She's the really dumb one.
I know
one.
Yeah, who she
dumb
is.
Dumb people have sex all the time. They're not...
I'm familiar with the program. You, sir, apparently are not.
Well, no, I haven't seen it in a couple of years. But my impression of her from that show was that she was almost retarded.
No.
Okay.
She's humorously dumb.
She acts that way.
Humorously,
okay. Humorously dumb, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what happens when your actors are in their 30s doing shows as teenagers. Some of them are going to get pregnant, I guess.
Tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon on a special night. It's Friday night this week instead of Saturday. So if you can come out tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we'd love to have you join us and make fun of people and drink and smoke things and have a blast. You can go to CSMOD, CESMOD, CSMOD.com for more details and to get tickets for tomorrow night's show at 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, these stars were born on April the 4th. As we look at the celebrity birthdays, Latasha Lyonne is 34 years old today. David Blaine celebrates his 40th birthday. Josh Todd of Buck Cherry is 42. Robert Downey Jr. is 48 years old. David Cross turns 49. Hugo Weaving, one of my favorite actors. You ever see that V for Vendetta?
I did.
It's a damn good movie.
That is good.
He is 53 years old today. David E. Kelly, writer and producer of many of your favorite TV series. He is 57. And actor Craig T. Nelson from Parenthood and Coach and of course, Poltergeist. You didn't move the bodies! He's 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our friend Luke Robitaille from the office of the Los Angeles Kings. Sorry, the Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so here on KROQ. Is he going to be wearing the big ring, you think, Kevin?
I would.
Get a chance to see
if
what
I
the
were him,
like?
I would never take it off.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, very excited to welcome Brian Fuller back to the show. He is the executive producer of the new TV show debuting tonight on NBC called Hannibal. He also wrote tonight's episode, and it is creepy. You are going to love it. Speaking of creepy television, My Strange Addiction, as you know, is one of our very favorite shows on TLC. And TLC, Lisa, remind me, stands for?
Freak Show Network.
That's right, the Freak Show Network. An episode a couple of weeks ago that we talked about of My Strange Addiction was a woman who was addicted to drinking blood.
Blood is as important as water to me. I like to drink blood when I'm reading, when I'm relaxing, when I'm watching TV, when I'm painting. It's never a bad time for me to drink blood. I wake up in the morning, I pour it into my coffee cup. I drink it. I get energized. I like to cook with blood. I like to make it in soup. I like to cook it with stir fry. When I make Bloody Marys, I use vodka, hot sauce, and then I add the final touch, the blood.
Obviously. That delightful creature is named Michelle Navarette, and it turns out that she is local, you guys. She lives in Lancaster, California, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Good morning.
We enjoyed very much your episode on TV. What has the reaction been like from other people who have seen the show?
It's been interesting. I mean, locally, everybody's like, oh, well, that's not shocking. But, you know, nationally, apparently, it's kind of a big deal.
Well, it's not, I mean, just so you know, it's not something everyone does.
I didn't know that. It's, like, perfectly normal for me, so, you know.
How long have you been drinking the blood?
I've been drinking it for years. Like I said, it's normal to me. So literally years I have been drinking
but
blood.
But it had to start somewhere.
Yeah, at some point you said, I need to drink blood.
Unless your parents raised you that way.
No. Oh, no.
No, your parents would not approve. In fact, your mom didn't even know that you drank blood until you were filming this episode, right?
Oh, no, no. She's always going to give me hell for that. I horrified her.
Hey, Mom, well, I'm on My Strange Addiction tonight. You should watch it.
A lot of parents, they don't understand their kids. And when you became a tattoo artist, maybe that's not what they expected. Then you started getting all the crazy piercings, and maybe that's not the vision that they had for you in your life. And then you cap it off with, hey, I'm drinking blood. And she's just shaking her head. I mean, she still loves you. She was very cool about it. But you can't expect her to understand it. It's not something that most people can just accept.
No, it's not. But she's pretty understanding. I mean, out here in the Antelope Valley with all of these meth labs, anything you're addicted to that's not meth, not so bad.
Not such a big deal. Compare it to meth and you're okay. But tell us about the first time, though. I mean, you did have to at one point go, I want to try this. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It was when I was a kid. I had like a scrape or something like that. And then naturally, being curious, I tasted my blood, and I really liked it. So then when I got a little bit older and I had access to it myself and realized that, you know, I could buy it, I could try it, I did.
You get it on Amazon?
Pause?
Do you get it on Amazon?
No, you probably could.
I was intrigued to see the store that they showed you on the episode, Michelle, walking into. Why does that place sell vats of pig's blood for you to buy? Like, what do most people buy it to use it for?
Well, most people buy it for, blood sausage or things like that. Apparently, every other culture than the American culture utilizes blood as a form of delicacy and cuisine. So,
Now, do you have blood in your coffee this morning?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Were you bummed out when they asked you to, I guess it was your mom or your friend that asked you to go to a doctor to talk to them about it? Were you kind of insulted by that they sent you to a doctor?
No, not at all. I mean, if you're going to be sending me to a doctor for drinking blood, then you better send, every whore there ever was to a doctor, because they're getting some foul DNA themselves.
Okay, all right.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And the doctor, it seemed like, didn't tell you anything that you didn't already know. You seem to be on the show pretty aware of the inherent risks.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, despite what you see on past, My Strange Addictions, I do have, half of a brain.
Where'd the other half go?
Tell me about
this.
Tell me about this guy that we saw on the episode. This is the voice that Michelle Navarrete here on the Kevin Bean Show. She was recently featured on My Strange Addiction as the girl, woman addicted to drinking blood. Tell me about the guy that they show on the episode who you have come over and you suck his blood. What's your relationship with him?
He is a very, very close friend of mine.
And not a boyfriend, though, right?
Huh?
Not a boyfriend.
No, he's a good friend.
He's a good friend, and then he found out that you were drinking blood, and how did that whole thing happen where you went, I'd like to drink yours if you'd come over every once in a while?
It actually didn't bother him at all. He initially had offered it to me. Like I said, it's really not that strange to us or to the people I know out here. Like, we're kind of non-judgmental, and, it doesn't kill him, so...
Right, but I mean, look, if somebody comes to me and says, I would like to cut you so that I can drink your blood, I think my inclination would be to say, no, I'd prefer not to do that.
I completely agree, hence why I did not cut him. Anybody whose blood I drink, I let them cut themselves so that I'm not, held accountable for anything.
Well, then it makes sense.
Why do you think he does it? Why does he agree to be part of this?
Because it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't like a big deal to him. It was just kind of to help me out. I mean, he was okay with doing it for the show, and obviously I didn't mind.
So. You seem a little annoyed by this attention.
No, I'm not a little bit annoyed. It's what it is during filming, we had a really good time, got along well, with the whole crew. Granted, they took all of that out for the show.
So oh, it's sure. The editing that bothered you.
They edited it just so that it's you being a freak with blood?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like, my character. I'm sure everybody's not interested in that, but still.
But you do drink blood. I mean, that is sort of a highlight.
And the show is My Strange Addiction. I mean, clearly that's going to be the focus, is whatever the addiction is. I mean, I'm sure the guy who's in love with his inflatable pool toys has some awesome stuff going on in his life, too. But we don't hear about it because that's not what the show's about. Hey, Michelle, let me ask you this. You prefer the human blood to the animal blood, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you tried to figure out some other way to get human blood other than just the tiny, tiny bit that you can get out of your friend? I mean, is there any other way you can get it?
I know that there is, but I'm not an expert in the medical field, so I'm not going to try it because I don't want to, like, hurt somebody, really.
Right.
You know, I think one of the things that maybe is a little alarming is the volume.
You drink a lot of blood.
Yeah,
it's
not just a lot of blood.
Not just a tiny taste of it. I mean, you drink a glass full at a time, right?
And so my question is, what happens if you don't do that? Like, how do you feel physically?
I feel like how most people feel when they go without a cigarette. I'm so accustomed to drinking it when I don't have it, my body needs to adjust, and I get irritable and antsy and things of that nature.
Are you addicted? It is called My Strange Addiction. Would you consider yourself addicted?
You know, it's really hard to say addicted because it's been such an average part of my life. And to other people, since it's blood and it creeps them out, I can see why they think it's an addiction. But for me, it's just like no big deal. So I don't know.
Do you watch the My Strange Addiction show and think, wow, those other people are freaks?
Well, I actually called the producer after I watched a few episodes before we started filming, and I saw the woman that eats couches. And I called the producer, and I was like, this woman eats couches.
Wait, you were offended by that?
I wasn't offended by it, but I was like, is drinking blood really that strange?
Well, compared to eating couches, I'd say no.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. All right, we're almost out of time here, Michelle, and it's awesome that you came on with us. It's fascinating to get to talk to somebody that we've actually seen on the show. But what's your dating life like, and has this ever been a deal breaker for somebody?
No, I'm always honest and open and bold about who I am and what I'm into and things of that nature, too. So it's not a shocker. If I'm going to freak anyone out, it's certainly not for my blood drinking.
Oh, really? There's a lot worse?
I think we're going to see Michelle back on My Strange Addiction for something else we don't even know about yet. All right. Before we go, anything else you want people to know about you?
I mean, not really. It's pretty much in a nutshell. I do have a life. I do run an open mic out here. I do tattoo. I do put on local shows, promote. I do a lot of other things and drink blood, guys. But guess what? I do it all while I'm drinking blood. So
there you go. Living the dream in Lancaster, California, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle Navarette, thanks for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. Enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Who's hungry?
Greatest left wing in the history of the league.
Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it. I made it.
Unbelievable shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores!
He scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again. He scores! Luke Robitaille!
Luke Robitaille just caught the goaltender sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille.
Hockey Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille with your Los Angeles Kings. He is the president of business operations, joins us back in the studio here on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Luke. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing really good.
Always a pleasure. Great intro tape.
I'm going to bring a new one next time.
Well, you're not playing anymore, so we don't have a lot of new tape to draw from.
Luke,
I'm sorry,
Robitaille's writing something on this piece of paper.
Look, hey, maybe he's in a meeting wearing a tie.
Maybe you should suit up against Minnesota tonight.
That's right. No. Trust me, no.
Luke, how much weight, if any? You don't look like it, but I'm curious. How much weight, if any, or how different is your body now from your playing days?
Well, they say you lose weight when you lose muscle.
Ah, okay. That's why I weigh 80 pounds.
Yeah.
But I would think if I'm a hockey player and I quit playing, I would balloon up like a giant. Because
you can now finally eat whatever you want,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you don't have to be in shape.
You know, like I try to move all the time, but I cut French fries.
That's my training. You cut French
cut
fries.
Cut French fries, and I try to hike. I do one thing I do. I make sure I do nothing that hurts me. Okay. So, like, I will not go and lift weights where I'm really sore the next day. You know, I like to go hiking. I'll ride the bike. And
that's the dedication to being in shape is doing nothing, that hurts you.
When I retired, the first time I went to the gym, I'll never forget, I was looking around. I'm like, what do I do in here? And I went in and rode the bike for 20 minutes and didn't really break a sweat. Watched TV because when I was training as a player, you could never ride the bike and watch TV because it was too hard, you know.
Right.
And then I remember I kind of went to the bench press and did a couple sets, went home. That was great.
Because
I didn't know what
to do.
Well, training without a purpose. That was the thing that was weird for me.
Hey, I don't blame you. You hurt yourself enough over a couple of decades. I mean, you're entitled to skate. I mean, figuratively skate. Now.
That's right.
We have so much we want to talk to you about in the time that we have, Luke. And I want to start with March 26th. You and the guys and the cup are at the White House. You had been there before, obviously. But tell me about this trip. Tell me what that's like when you go and visit the president as a champion.
It's pretty special. I mean, just the way they treat you, like coming in, and actually they were prepared for us. It kind of felt going into an airport a little bit, and I thought it'd be a little bit tighter, we walked in, and we had the two teams. We had the Galaxy were with us, and it was us, and they made sure, like, for players, it's very important that they won their championship, the Galaxy and the Kings. And what was neat about it is someone was aware of that at the White House, and they made sure both teams were treated really nice.
Oh, that's good.
And
I would think they would single out the hockey players, though, for a secondary screening.
Yeah, that's right. You would think so.
Let the Galaxy
but they
go
didn't.
Through, but the hockey
and he
players
sticks
are...
around here. I mean, you look at hockey players, they're about twice the size too,
right.
You know, it's kind of scary.
And a rambunctious group.
You know, but what was neat is, the president came in and he made sure that he shook everyone's hand and kind of went around and said hi to everybody. And
do you get the feeling with Obama that he's focusing on you, that you're there? And
yeah,
he's not just
a sports guy.
Yeah.
You know, so he comes in and he goes, hey, guys. And hey, the way he talks, you could tell the guy, like, is in shape, he trains and plays sports, and his first thing was, you beat my Hawks last night, so all our guys are like, yeah, we did, you know? So that was pretty cool.
You know, I always wonder, and really all I know about how the White House works is what I saw on the West Wing, and that it's possible that wasn't real, but I get the impression that something like this is, the president has to shoehorn it into his schedule, and they basically just, they alert, you know, they give him 15 seconds to go in there and get his photo taken and get out and get back to running the country. But did he actually spend a little bit of time with you guys?
No, it does feel that way, though. They come in, and actually the way it worked out is that they had two kind of stage set up for the picture. So they, because, you know, we're sports guys, they made sure they said, okay, let's just kind of rehearse where you guys are going to be standing. And we did both teams.
This is before he came.
This is before, you know, for maybe a half hour. And it's kind of funny because, you know, our guys are so big, they didn't fit. You know, take the picture. So we're trying to tell them, like, go left, everybody go sideways.
All right, Dustin Pedder, you're going to have to get in the back.
And everybody was nervous that the whole thing would break down because, you know, we're such a big team.
That would have been awesome.
And so then we come down and we're kind of waiting to have different color room, the red room and the green room. And so they had the Galaxy, I think, in the blue room and us in the green room. And but he does. When you come in, you could tell he's coming from another meeting. But
it's
not like he came in with like 20 people. He just came in with a couple people, a couple photographers. So they got everyone shaking his hand, you know, a picture of it. And then he goes on, does his thing. And I think we heard he was doing some security meeting after that.
Did he invite you into the
national security? No, he didn't even talk about that with us.
I don't understand that.
Do you get to do anything else at the White House? Do you get a tour? Do you get a meal?
We have to take a break. We have more questions.
What? I'm talking to the nice man.
We stole the napkins with the seal.
Exactly. I want to hear more about the stealing when we get back. It's Luke Robitaille on the world-famous K-Rock. We'll be right back. It is 7:34 on the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Luke Robitaille is in the studio with us.
Yes, Luke is the president of business operations for the Los Angeles Kings. When we last left you, Luke was telling us a story about how he came to this country a foreigner, earned the millions of dollars that our people paid him, then went to our nation's capital, to the White House, and stole from America. That's the story we were getting ready to hear.
You forgot the taxes that I've paid.
Oh, that's right. Tell us about sticky fingers in the White House, because I would find everything I could and try to take it.
I was trying to find everything I could. There
I really
wasn't
would.
Much. There was more last time I went. Like,
oh, yeah?
Because they had like an M&M's box with the seal on it.
Oh, really?
That was pretty cool. We got that. And the napkins, like you go in a restroom, they're napkins literally, but the seal was even better. There was a little shade of gold in 2002. This time it was just like kind of like a...
Did you tell the president that his napkins are...
No, but I like it. I knew he's cutting the budget. He's working on it. And I got proof that he is, you know.
So how many did you take? Just one?
I know. I took a stack. You know, that's the only thing I could find. The other thing
there's
is...
There's no
when,
pencils or pads
no,
of paper?
There was nothing. Oh. There's nothing you could...
Is there a White House gift shop, maybe?
Yeah.
They knew.
I think there were. But the other thing was...
The hockey guys are coming. Like, put everything away.
Yeah, our guys are on a road trip. So these kids are all sitting on these chairs and they're texting and everything. So we're talking to one of the... They're represented there, and he says, oh, yeah, he goes, usually this is all roped off. You can't touch anything, and you're looking at our guys. They're sitting, and these couches look really old, and right. We're like, man, these things could be a couple hundred years old.
Right?
It was just sitting on it like it was nothing.
Nobody
yeah, was
spill. How's the Wi-Fi or cell phone reception in the White House?
It seemed good because literally every one of our guys, we have a really young team, every one of our guys sat down and right away they're on their phones just
started
waiting.
Texting
it's
kind of pictures
funny.
And
yeah.
stuff.
So it must have been good.
Luke, what'd you do with the cup?
Well, for me...
On your day, since the last time we saw you.
Yeah, I had it in L.A. for a while, and we had a couple parties, you know, different places, and we had one part of my house, and then the last day before it got engraved, it gets engraved in Montreal in Canada, so I had it there, and my mom, you know, I took it to my mom, so that was pretty cool. She lives in a little village, so, you know, to see it in Canada, they treat it like it's a holy grail.
Sure.
Everybody kind of wants to touch it, and
sure.
that was pretty neat, so we took it there that last day.
Tell me about the ring that you get as Stanley Cup champion.
And why aren't you wearing it?
I screwed up. I forgot it this
Seriously,
morning.
I would wear it everywhere.
I'm sorry about that. I should have worn it.
Heard was he's here. He doesn't have the ring. Okay.
Is it too big to be comfortable to wear every day? Is it the type of thing you only bring out for special occasions?
Yes, or? It's too big, especially if someone shakes your hand real hard, like on the side with all the engraving, kind of seems to rip your fingers apart.
No, yours is too bad. It didn't rip theirs up. It'd be all right.
But it's a great ring. I mean, it was made by Tiffany, so you can't go wrong. And
we all
kept the boxes, so you know, if we want to give a present to our wives in the future, the box is the key. I hear, huh?
Oh, sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Where do you keep it? Where do you keep the ring?
Keep it at home in a safe, and you know,
nice. It's not on display or anything.
No, not yet. I'd like to make a display of it, but you know, like we take it out for events. Like I wore it at the White House. Sorry, I didn't
sure.
wear it for you guys.
Well, that's all right.
That's
all right.
No, we understand. We got you.
This isn't exactly the White House.
Let's talk about how many games are left in the regular season. It's getting down to like 12 or something.
Yeah,
now, right?
12 games for us. So that's
and how are you feeling?
Well, it feels really good. The team's been playing really good. We had a great road trip. I mean, we didn't like our last game that we played. But, you know, all in all, our team's playing a lot more the way it was playing last year and in the last few weeks and going into the playoffs. Like I said earlier, we're a big team and we're pumped. I mean, we made a good trade for our team this week. Unfortunately for us, Willie Mitchell was a key player last year for us to win the Stanley Cup, but he wasn't going to come back this year. And now to
because
add Robin
injury?
Regier, yeah, because of his injury.
So the guy that you got is a Brazilian. I mean, I play a lot of hockey in Brazil. That's weird.
No, listen,
it's known as a cold weather climate,
because,
Kevin. You know,
but you guys,
that.
Like, you know, it's, it doesn't mean you know he played hockey there.
Well,
growing
I don't know.
Up,
it
you
just
know?
Like, all I saw was he's from Brazil. I was like, what? What are the Kings doing?
I saw that.
They got a soccer player.
Have a great promo night. Brazilian night.
But he's a defenseman.
No, he's a big defenseman. He's a stay-at-home defenseman. He's exactly what we need for us to play with kids like Drew Doughty and Slava Voynov and Jake Muzzin. And those guys are going to be great with this guy. He's been around for a long time. He's won, I think, a gold medal with Team Canada. He played with Daryl Sutter, our coach, you know, and he went to the finals with Tampa Bay years ago. And, you know, I think he's dislocated one of our players' shoulder. I mean, he's a big guy, you know.
Mm.
We weren't happy with him then, but
right.
we are happy now if he does it to
There's no retaliation.
No, there's no retaliation.
Like tonight, he's not going to come out and fight one of our players?
No, I hope not. We've been
trouble. Clifford or somebody else.
How much do you pay attention to the other teams, particularly in your division? I mean, like when you see how well Anaheim is playing right now, is that something you always kind of keep an eye on, or just try to concentrate on what you guys are doing?
In the last week, usually you start looking at the standing. Before that, you don't. You just know you got to win your game. Especially this year, we all play in the same conference, so every time you win in regulation, you know, you get 2 points, but the other team kind of goes down 2 points. So those games are really important. And
sure.
But I do look at Anaheim because I think it would be great one day if we have a playoff series against the Ducks.
Yes,
I think
it would
be great for Southern California.
They're having a hell of a season.
As long as we win.
Sure.
As long as we win that series. You know?
We had I had a Twitter war with a guy who was a Chicago Blackhawks fan. And for, I don't know, 2 months he was saying what was going to happen to the Kings when the Blackhawks played him on Monday night. And then on Tuesday, I was like, hey, dude, what's up? Where are you? Where are you, man? He's been mouthing off for 2 months with the Blackhawks winning that incredible run. How many games did they end up winning in
24.
A row?
I wanted to ask you about that, Luke. How much did you guys pay attention to that? Were you just totally in awe of that?
Before that, does it sound violent, a Twitter war?
Yeah, well it was a war. He was being a dick. I'll tell you that. It wasn't so much of a war. Good point.
And I'm sure you weren't, right,
man? Kevin, it sounds like a rough war.
All right. I withdraw
I'm sure,
the
I withdraw I'm sure the Kevin was taking the high road.
No, the top road.
But when Chicago got those 24 games in a row without losing, you know, that's great for hockey. I mean, everybody was talking about it, and it was a great thing. And you know, they're a great team. I mean, a few years ago they won the cup. Unfortunately, they had to lose a few players, but they're back, and we know they're going to be a tough competitor in the playoffs.
How many teams in your mind could win the cup this year?
There's probably in our league, the way it works out, is at least 10 teams that can win.
And that's parity.
Yeah, it comes down to injuries, and it comes down to who's hot coming into playoffs. And look, last year we finished 8th, and we barely got in. You know?
I remember it was coming right down to the end.
But then yet, everybody kind of knew the way our team played. No one really wanted to play us. And then there's a lot of teams like that. You look at the Edmonton, they're coming to play us Saturday right now. I mean, they're a fast, fun, young team to watch, and they won 8-2 last night again, and they seem to be
That's
on a
crazy.
Roll, and they can get in the playoffs and be very dangerous.
What about Jeff Carter this year? He's been having a crazy year.
Yeah,
it's kind of what you expected when you brought him, right?
Yeah, he's a pure goal scorer, and coming in our team, he's really played well within the system, and he's one of those players that you call a game breaker, mm-hmm. where you know the game could be 2-2, and everybody's playing defense, and you know you can't get a scoring chance, and he gets that one chance, and boom, it's in the back of the net, and it's so hard to get those guys, you know, to get those kind of game breakers, and he was like that in the playoffs last year. And then this year, he's been even more than a game breaker. I mean, he's been our pure goal scorer. He's been the guy, like, he seems to be producing almost every night. And he's one of the reasons we're where we're at right now.
How difficult is it for people to get tickets to Kings home games, Luke?
Well, it's very, very,
very
difficult right now, you know, and it's great. I mean,
you've always drawn well. You drew great before you won the cup, but mm-hmm. I just imagined you had a bunch of people who all of a sudden wanted to start buying tickets for this season. Well, I just wondered if it's just been a crush.
You know what was very successful last year in the playoffs? We had a bus, and we call it a bandwagon bus. And we didn't hire it. We said, just jump on it. We have no qualm about it.
The doors were open.
But it's been great. I mean, we're sold out on season seats, and you know, I mean, and our fans are very passionate.
Oh,
you know,
fans are the best. That's one of the things I like about hockey the most. They're the most other people would consider them the worst fans.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But if you're a hockey fan, you know, like they're the best. They're the people who I don't want to sound terrible, but during the national anthem, if somebody shouts something, hockey fan. Always.
That's right.
Always a hockey fan.
They do.
So they hate America, Kevin.
I'm just saying they're a rowdy group, and they chant the name of the other goalie.
They're there to party.
Yeah, it's a good time when you go to the game.
It's definitely an event. Every time you come to a Kings game, it's an event, and it's fun. And, you know, we've had a lot of new fans coming in to the last few years, and everybody seems to come in and go, wow, this is pretty neat. You know, it's an experience. It's fun.
It is. Yeah, and you really, you can't judge hockey on television. You have to see it in person. There's no question about that. All right, I know know we're still a couple of weeks out from the end of the regular season, but you're feeling pretty good health-wise for your team.
Yeah, we're feeling really good right now health-wise. I mean, knock on wood, you know. And but you know,
that was Kevin's head, by the way.
That's for right. Where, I was but you know, we're going to be coming in, and you want to be coming in playing real well. Right now, we're playing well as a team, and you know, we're pumped. It's going to be a fun ride, and you know, it's been a fun season because it's only 48 games, and the next 12, it's going to happen so fast. So,
in the back of your mind, are you thinking you got to peak at the right time? Clearly, last year's team peaked at the right time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to peak at the right time. That's for sure.
Is that in the back of your mind now?
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, because you want your goal scorer to be on a scoring streak. You want everybody to be feeling great coming into the playoffs, because the margin is so slim, you know, between each guys. And if your top guys are coming in feeling good about themselves, it's a huge difference going into the playoffs. And right now, our guys are playing really well.
Who's bad?
Who's bad?
On the team. On the Kings.
Well, that Juriski was really bad.
Right.
They already traded. Nice answer.
All right. Last question for you, Luke. Now that you've played a four-month season, don't you wish it was like this every year?
It's pretty exciting.
It's pretty sweet, right?
You know, you think you want to play 82 games always, you know, but I have to admit, it's unbelievable. When
48 feels pretty good, I bet.
Like, yeah, it feels pretty good. I mean, it's...
Seems like careers might be a little longer if they only played...
Yeah, we couldn't play the way we've been playing this year, where we played three games and four nights and then and 7 nights. I mean, we had a stretch run where we played Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
That's
then
crazy.
Again the next week, it was like 12 games in 20 days, and that was really hard on the players.
Sure.
So we couldn't do that, but it is kind of fun.
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. It always goes by so quickly when Luke Robitaille is in studio with us. The next Kings home game, by the way, is going to be this Saturday, April 6th, that one at Staples Center against, as you mentioned, Edmonton.
After tonight.
After tonight's big win.
Yes.
After tonight's big win.
No more shootout against Minnesota. No more of that BS.
Exactly. Luke, you know we love you, man. It's always great to have you come in. Thanks a lot for bringing the ring, too. That meant a lot to us. We really enjoyed it.
I will bring it next time, I promise.
So a family member calls you up out of the blue and says, I have committed a horrendous crime. Do you call the police and turn them in? That is the question.
Do you like the family member?
I know Bean didn't. Remember when his brother was the sniper, the Washington, D.C. sniper?
Oh, I thought he was the Unabomber.
No, he was a sniper.
He was the D.C. sniper.
I think he was considered for both of them.
Bean never even bothered, never even mentioned it to cops, nothing. His brother's going around shooting people up, but he never even...
I don't think that was ever confirmed.
It wasn't him. They actually
arrested... a person of interest, that's for
convicted
sure.
Somebody else.
Yeah, well, they could have looked into your brother a little bit, that's all I'm saying.
It is an interesting question, though, and I think Kevin is right. I think it depends on how much you like the family member. Also, I think what the crime is has an awful lot to do with it, too. So we'll discuss. There's a story in the news that kind of got us started on this. We want to hear what you think, too. Coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:55.
Saturday. It's yet another of the legendary K-Rock Santa Anita events. It's an infield concert featuring Iration this Saturday, April 6th at Santa Anita Park. The gates open at 10 a.m. Go there, spend the day. Bet on the ponies, drink, eat. It's quite the bash. Plus, you get to hang out with Stryker and Cat Corbett and Nicole Alvarez and Lightning and Omar and Dave the King of Mexico. What kind of shape are Omar and Dave the King of Mexico going to be if they're drinking all day at San Anita and then coming to April Foolishness that night?
Yeah, good point.
Probably normal for them.
Normal shape,
yeah.
What you're guessing?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great event. I think it's like $5 or something to get in. It's really well worth your day if you're looking for something to do on Saturday. Of course, Santa Anita Racetrack is located in beautiful Arcadia, California, just east of Pasadena. Let me give you a little bit more incentive to attend. How about a VIP package, which includes 4 free admissions for you and 3 friends, backstage access, you can hang out with Iration, 8 drink tickets, and most impressively, I think, a $106 voucher that you can use to bet on the races. So you're betting with $106 of our money.
Are we asking for our money back if they win?
Nope. What? They get that. That's theirs.
That's stupid.
It is stupid, but we really want people to attend and have a good time this Saturday at Santa Anita Park. That's the VIP package. First 2 callers right now get through at 1-800-520-1067. First 2 callers will win that package and enjoy themselves Saturday at Santa Anita Park. Hey, there's a pony now.
Great sound effectage.
It is. That's theater of the mind right there. Justin Bieber has been told by German authorities he has 1 month to pick up his monkey.
Mr. Bieber, come please to the shelter. Your monkey is waiting for you.
Don't you get the idea?
I got me a monkey.
Yeah. Don't you get the idea he's already forgotten that he ever had one?
Yeah, well, look, he gave away his guinea pig to a fan out there in a crowd. I'm sure he doesn't care about Molly the monkey. Authorities took away his 14-week-old capuchin monkey when he tried to take it into the country without proper documentation. There's health and species protection certificates that you need before you can enter a foreign country like Germany. Now, the shelter, by the way, where Molly's being kept, says the monkey was disoriented when they got him and is much too young to be away from its mother in the first place, so they're not crazy about the Biebs right now anyway.
It's very sad. And this doesn't sound like it's the ripe kind of monkey, the one that might tear his face off, right?
No, this is a friend's monkey. This is a Marcel the monkey. Remember him, little one?
Yeah, sure. That's not going to help us.
Cute monkey.
Yeah. Although I heard they can be quite vicious, too, in the right circumstances. Well, so there's hope.
That one could take down Bieber, no problem.
They say if Bieber doesn't present the proper papers and get the monkey back, it'll be placed in a shelter with experience in rearing groups of young capuchins, so...
I'm sure he's already forgotten
the monkey.
The
will monkey. Be taken care of if Bieber doesn't...
Be a lot better for the monkey if he doesn't show up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't trust the Germans. You tell the monkey he's going to take a shower, and the next thing you know...
Oh, God.
I'm saying...
I'm not sure that's still true today.
Really? Oh, wait. When's the last time you were in Germany, Mr. Expert in Germany?
It's been a while. But...
Okay, then. Until proven otherwise, I still got Schindler's List in my mind, all right?
I'm telling you, Ralph does not let it go, man. You start a couple of world wars, and all of a sudden you're a bad country.
It's a world war. That's pretty significant. Biebs, meanwhile, while he's abandoning his monkey, is insulting supermodels. British supermodel Jordan Dunn was on a talk show this week, and she talked about how she was verbally accosted by Bieber backstage at rehearsals for the Victoria's Secret fashion show. He told me, you've got nice boobs.
Oh, really?
He's smooth. He's a smooth little devil.
He's got game.
And she probably didn't know that.
He added, you flashed to me and my dancers and made our day, bro. Yeah. Dunce says her reaction was simply to cringe.
What an ass. Lisa, are there circumstances... which a woman enjoys hearing that she has good boobs? Is that something that anyone can say and get away with?
When you're in bed with a fella making love, right?
That's what I was going to say.
You don't want it from the guy on the street.
Or if it's Ryan Gosling.
You don't want it from your cabbie.
Yeah, no.
Or Bean, for example. Right. You don't want it from Bean.
Ever.
And yet Bean says it every morning to Lisa when we go on the air.
Well, he asked how are they.
I asked how they are, that's all. Just want a health update. I'll make sure she's checking for lumps and stuff.
Yeah.
Because if she won't.
All right. All right.
I'm just concerned.
Who's hungry?
Today's celebrity birthday is Craig T. Nelson, 69 years old today. Writer-producer David E. Kelly is 57. Hugo Weaving celebrates his 53rd birthday. One of my favorite actors. David Cross, 49. Robert Downey Jr., Tony Mother Effin Stark, is 48 years old. Josh Todd, singer for Buck Cherry, is 42. Magician David Blaine is 40. And actress Natasha Lyonne celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Muggs just told us he needs a stool because he's too fat to stand.
Can't support that much weight all day long. Come on, Kevin.
Hey, guys, would it be cool if I had a stool or something? Because I can't stand up. Can I lay down on the couch and still work here?
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show here on the world famous K-Rock. How about tickets in the How You Like Me Now section for the sold out Kevin Amin April Foolishes 2013? That's Saturday night at the Gibson, don't you know? We'll give you a chance to win those between 9 and 10 o'clock. Plus Brian Fuller, who's a big time TV guy. He's the producer of Hannibal, debuting tonight on NBC. He also wrote the episode. You're going to love this show, Kevin. This is all about you.
Can't wait.
This is good. If you're into the serial killers like you are with the following then this is going to be a nice one for you.
Excellent.
All right. Here's a story we talked about a couple of days ago. A woman named Susan Hudson in the news. She lives in Tennessee, and she thought it would be a wacky idea to play an April Fool's Day prank on her sister. Here's the news picking it up from there.
A favorite day for pranksters is the time of year when you're never really sure what's the truth. One veteran April Fool's Day jokester in Kingsport had it all planned out.
I'll do April
Fool's Day jokes all the time, okay?
Well, she does sound like a prankster.
She is a party and a person.
By the way, she is 52 years old. She sounds about 100.
She does. She sounds 92.
What 52. The? So she does April Fool's Day pranks all the time.
This year would be the best yet, a prank for her sister.
I was doing an April Fool's joke. I said, Helen, I shot my husband. I'm cleaning up the mess. Let's go bury him in Blackwater.
Now, I don't know what Blackwater is, if that's a place or if that's a body of water or what. But she told her sister, I shot my husband. Let's go bury him. By the way, does that count as a wacky April Fool's
Day
prank,
you guys? It's a little further than April Fool's, I think.
It's kind of, it's awfully dark.
I shot my husband. Especially since she thinks her sister's going to believe her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously there have been problems.
What does she want her sister to do with that information? Is she just trying to clown on her?
Freak
so her
out.
Sister gets all freaked out and then she can say, oh, April Fool.
Maybe she'll freak out and drive over real fast to see what's going on.
All right, let's see what her sister did.
Yeah, you heard correctly. She told her sister she murdered her husband. Sister Helen called another family member. Somebody called 911.
And next thing I knew, there was law everywhere.
There was law everywhere, you guys.
I love her.
Nothing but the police showing up. All right, so what did the sister do? She apparently did not call 911. She called another relative and said, hey, Susan just said she killed her husband. What now? And the other relative is the one who decided to call 911. And that's where we got to started thinking about if this had happened to you, what would you do? I mean, I think the first thing I would do would be get more information. I would be asking her, what are you talking about? Tell me what happened. Why did it happen? How did it happen? What's going on? You know, I would really try to flesh it out for details to make sure it was true. First,
but what if it was your brother and he just said, just get over here? Then what would you do?
I think I would go over there because I think that would be worth investigating.
But I think I would go over there as well.
I think you'd have to go over there. But the real quandary for a lot of people is, what happens if you get over there and it turns out to be true? Then what?
Do you call 911 or do you help bury the body?
I imagine you try to get them to call 911. That's number one.
But they won't.
And they're not going to.
That woman's a prankster. She's not calling 911.
Because I have a feeling there are a lot of people who would be willing to do anything to protect their family member, even if their family member was way in the wrong or way guilty of something. And I think that's a shame that that's true, but I think that is true.
I think that's true a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I would turn him in because it's the right thing to do. But if it was one of my brothers, I'd probably help.
It'd be tough.
You would? You think you'd hide the body? You'd help hide the body and cover up a murder?
I think. If it was one of my brothers.
Really?
I think.
I would draw the line at, let's carve up the body. Then I'm out.
So then you're out?
Let's put it in pieces and little bags and scatter it.
As long as you bury it in one place, then you're good?
Yeah, then I might be able to do that.
That's weird.
Well, this story from Tennessee obviously is crazy because it's an April Fool's Day prank and nobody was really killed. And even that we're talking about murder, I think that crosses a line, I think, for a lot of people. But I bet we have listeners who have family members who have committed other crimes other than murder. And they have had that decision to make. Do I just keep quiet about it? Do I become an accomplice about it? Or do I drop a dime on the person and turn them in?
I'd be willing to bet in real life, if that situation happened, it wouldn't be the first trouble that relative had gotten into.
That's probably true.
So if that's the case and they're always in, you know, in trouble with the law and then they get busted or they, you know, they're having a bad day selling drugs or whatever, they hurt somebody, they shot somebody, I don't know. I think you'd be pretty tired of the BS and you'd probably turn them in.
What about if nobody died, though? What about if let me throw this imaginary scenario. Beer Mug, do you have any brothers or sisters?
No, only child.
Okay, so your
what a disappointment.
They realized what a mistake they made with you.
Exactly.
All right, so you're a bad example. All right, so Lisa.
Okay.
So your brother calls you and says, I hit somebody. I didn't kill him, but I hit somebody while I was driving my car and they're hurt. But nobody saw me and I got away and I feel terrible about it. What should I do?
But is there anything to do? I mean, can Lisa just happen by that intersection and help the person or?
No, I mean, it's a crime to hit somebody
I know.
And leave. I'm just throwing that out as one example of one crime that somebody might commit. So your brother calls and says, I hit somebody. Nobody saw me. I got away. What should I do? Would you turn him in that case or would you say, well, you just got lucky. It's too bad that poor sucker will never know who hit him. Ha ha ha.
Come over and have a beer.
Oh, what would you do, man, Lisa? I don't know. I think I would just, I don't think I could make the call, but I think I would just work really hard to get him to do it. But
maybe that's what this sister did, was couldn't make the call, so called somebody else.
Right, right. And a lot of times that is what would happen in my family, is I'd call someone and they'd call someone, and so we'd all know. And then,
but what would you do, Bean? You have a brother.
Because that would call.
That would be a terrible burden to put on a family member, by the way, to say, hey, this is a terrible secret of something that I did that hurt somebody, and I want you to share this burden with me. I don't know. I mean, like you said, Kevin, there's not much that you could do. The only thing you do by coming forward, I guess, is do the right thing. So I think I'd have to call. I think I'd have to call.
Well, and also, isn't
I would have to call, and then I would have to also blame my brother for being a dumbass to tell me about it. If you wanted to get away with it, you shouldn't have told me. I think that's where
that's
I'd come
point.
Down.
And maybe you could help in that you carry insurance, and that would help that person if they had bills and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So maybe there's a benefit to
them. We got pulled over for going over 90 in Phoenix, and I switched places with my brother in the driver's seat.
Because he was driving.
And he had a lot of problems that I had nothing on my record.
Wow, you must have been young.
Yeah. How dare you?
That was a long time ago, because now Kevin is looking for anybody to switch places with him when he's driving.
Trying to shove his daughter in his seat.
So we want to know, have you ever had a family member commit a crime, and you then had to decide whether to tell or not, whether to turn that person in or not, or to become an accomplice, or just to turn the other way and pretend you didn't hear about it? Do we have time for Amanda real quick to kind of get us started before the break?
We do.
Okay, 1-800-520-1067. If you're put in that position, what do you do? What did you do? Amanda, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling. She just hung up.
Just hung up.
Yep. We just lost Amanda. She said that her brother had stolen and crashed a car, and she did not turn him in.
Stolen and crashed a car. Okay, so that's just, I think that's an easier one.
Because it's just property.
Yeah, it's property. Yeah. It's still a crime, but if it's your brother or your sister and
probably
you
not turning them
have
in.
Any kind of relationship with them, you're probably not, especially if it's just, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, that reminds me, when I was a kid, I had a cousin who had like a chest full of stuff he'd stolen from stores in the area.
Right.
I never said a word to anybody.
Awesome.
And he gave you the most awesome Christmas present.
Yeah, I did get good stuff.
We are talking about this delightful woman right here today. Talk about that woman. Susan Hudson, 52 years old, April Fool's gag, decided to tell her sister that she had killed her husband. Hey, get over here and help me get rid of the body. Her sister did not call the police. She instead called another relative, who then called the police, and then they found out that there wasn't a body and that the husband was fine.
She probably called the other relative who didn't like that woman so much.
Right.
Maybe so. So we're taking calls right now to find out if a family member commits a crime, do you turn that person in? Got a great wide variety of calls here. Let's start with Michelle. She is on line 2 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Michelle. Thanks a lot for calling. What's going on?
Hi. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle.
What did your brother or sister do?
My sister and her boyfriend were dealing heroin and Vicodin and ecstasy and I don't know what else they were dealing.
Doesn't matter what else,
And using and I turned them both in.
Wow,
that took some guts.
Did you get along with your sister before that?
No, I got along really well with her, but I just was worried about her and I didn't want her to end up dead or, you know.
So what happened when she got turned in? Did she go to jail?
Yeah, she spent a few days in jail. My parents bailed her out, and then she was sentenced to mandatory rehab and community service, and she went to rehab, and she's been clean since.
Oh, no kidding. And do you have a good relationship with her?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We're best friends.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much for the call. That's great. Kevin, how about that situation where you've got a family member who's dealing heroin?
Well, that's different because then your brother or sister is in dire,
right?
You know,
they're in trouble too.
Yeah, I mean they're in health trouble, so I think that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So you're a yes on that one.
Yeah,
all
I
right?
think so.
Let's go to. Wow, we got some weird calls. Let's go to Kimberly. Kimberly's on line 1 here, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
If they hurt somebody else, then I'm good.
Good morning.
Hi, Kimberly.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi there.
What happened with your brother?
Okay, my brother was drunk, took off driving in his car. Spun out around a turn, knocked a light pole down in the center divider, was able to limp the car about a block away. He ran back home to my mom's house where I was. I went over with him. We threw the keys in the car and then called 911 and told him that somebody had stole his car.
So you decided to become an accomplice to cover up your brother's crime.
And did it work?
Kind of. I mean, they never really arrested him for it, but they kept sending him bills for the light pole.
Oh, so they sort of knew the whole time.
But they couldn't prove it.
Well, I mean, because obviously his prints are in the car, so you can't just say it is his car. But he just played it off like, you know, and I helped him play it off like somebody had stole the car.
I wish you were my sister, Kimberly.
Check you out with the insurance fraud and lying to the police. That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations ran out on that one.
Well, we'll see when they trace this call.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Moses. Moses is on line 4. I think this one's going to be a simple one for us to agree on, but let's hear what happened to him. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Moses.
Kevin and B, Lisa May, how you doing?
Hi, good.
What happened?
Cool. So my brother lives in Utah with his wife a while ago. I guess he had too much to drink, and his wife, he started hitting his wife. His wife called my mom and told her, hey, I think he's going to kill me. So she goes and knocks on my door next door. So I call the cops out here in California because they're in Utah. They dispatch me to the Utah police. I tell them what's going on. I tell them where they're at. A couple of minutes later, I hear them banging on the door and knocking. They arrested him.
Fantastic.
Wow.
It's interesting that she called your mom and she didn't call the police.
Yeah. That's funny. Why are you calling that? Call the police. Well, she didn't want him to go to jail.
Well,
now look,
that's
you don't
difficult.
Want him to go to jail, but if he's hitting a woman, then that's what he deserves. You call.
Yeah, you had to do it. So tell me about the after effects of that. What's your relationship like with that couple now?
Oh, it's off and on. My brother's crazy. He's on drugs and stuff like that. So
no worse than it would have been.
Yeah.
Oh, no worse than it would have been.
All right. Thank you, Moses. Let's go to Hugo. If we have time for one more. Hugo is a police officer. He might have a different perspective on this. Hugo, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Hugo.
We were on our way back from a night of gambling over at Commerce Casino. And my brother, I guess he was going a little too fast. And we got pulled over by the CHP. So as we get off the freeway and as a CHP officer is walking up to the car, my brother takes a big bag of weed out of his pocket and hands it to me and tells me, here, hide this.
Oh,
now, wait.
Man.
you're a cop?
Yes, I'm a deputy.
Oh, and he gives the drugs to you to hide.
He hands me the drugs and he says, here, hide this.
So now you have 1 second to make a decision.
Yes. So I stuff it under the seat and CHP officer comes up to my side of the car. So, you know what? All right, let me badge this guy. Maybe he'll, you know, give us some love.
Right.
You know? So I'm like, hey, sir, you know, I know we were going a little fast back there. My brother wasn't thinking. And, you know, I'm an off-duty deputy. And, I promised to keep him in line. You know, like, oh, okay. And he checks my ID. All right, guys, have a safe night.
Wow.
And then he walks away, gets in the car. And I just turn around and give my brother the worst look ever. I'm like, dude, what were you thinking?
Wow.
Oh, man.
By the way. It was quite a bit of weed, too. I was like, oh, my, this is like marginally. It could have been a felony because it was a lot of weed.
And but
so
I think the fact that...
Every time before I get in his car, I'm like, hey, bro, is there anything in the car I should know about?
Yeah. Because that's an a-hole move by him.
It is an a-hole move by him. And you did the cool thing, and I think the right thing, by the way. I don't think there's any reason to volunteer that somebody has pot in the car, for God's sake.
Exactly. So now I have one in my pocket, and I'm like, hey, bro, you still owe me for that one.
There you go. All right. Thanks for the call, man. Good call.
Congratulations to Felicia Catalano from Fontana. Just got tickets in the second row. To see Depeche Mode, sucker. We're giving away first row tomorrow. What a loser.
She won't even enjoy that show being so far. But look, the second row, you can barely see the guys on stage. Are you kidding me? It's not even worth going.
And we're not even giving her binoculars.
That's right. It's crazy.
That's how crazy we are.
Let's go to Dr. Drew, who, as you know, has the Adam and Dr. Drew reunion tour coming to Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center on Saturday, April 13th. That's a week from Saturday at 8 o'clock. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. I wonder if they're still going to be speaking to each other based on how they were getting along in our studio on Monday. I felt like you were getting on his last nerve and vice versa, Doctor.
Guys, we just picked up where we left off many years ago.
That's full time.
Core nature of our relationship.
Yeah, it really is.
Adam is exhausting. There's no question about that. And you deserve some sort of medal for putting up with him as long as you have, Doc.
Well, he would say that the opposite, that I'm the problem.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, you know, I think we tipped you off on Monday when we saw you in person of what we wanted to talk to you about today, because we had a guest on with us since the last time we talked about. Kevin, I think you've got a pretty good handle on this guy. You seem to be really interested in what he was talking about. Tell the doctor what he had to say.
Well, his name is Dr. Adi Jaffe, and his website is addictionalternatives.com, and he runs
a rehab where you can drink. That's what caught my eye, of course.
Of course.
But it wasn't quite that, you know, that extreme. But basically, he says, not everybody needs to quit for the rest of their lives. Some people just need to learn how to get along with booze and not let it, you know, destroy them.
Well, and you approached me that on Monday when I was in there with Adam. And Kevin, you prefaced it with, you're going to hate this.
I thought you would. When I was talking to him, I could just hear you in the background being outraged.
And I was not. Listen, I am all for us pushing forward the field and coming to a deeper understanding of how to manage these things. And I, too, have always felt there's sort of a spectrum of disease out there, from people who are merely genetically predisposed to people who are dying. Now, I treat the people who are dying. For the people that have already thrown the switch where they have lost control, they want to stop but they just can't seem to,
right,
or they're having severe consequences from the use and they're hiding it and they're manipulating and they're minimizing, these are people that need to stop. Now, one caveat here. My fear is that by opening the door to moderation, the people that really need to stop are going to go, see, that's for me. Because, boy, they're going to stream in there like crazy. So those people need to be very carefully screened out for this kind of treatment. But for somebody who has sort of this genetic predisposition, they're aware they have momentum with an alcohol or a substance, we sort of put them under the category of almost alcoholic or barely alcoholic. Those people do drink a long periods of time and don't get into big, big trouble. So there might be a way to keep them from progressing and keeping them healthy. I'm all open to that. I don't know how that would work. I've never seen it work because they always seem to progress magically. But I suppose it's all around, first of all, dealing with their emotional and psychiatric health, and if that's under control, they may not initiate the relationship with the substance, which is usually where they're reaching outside of themselves to regulate horrible emotions.
Right.
That's what gets the whole thing started.
So there may be a place, again, you treat people who are already pretty much one foot in the grave,
yeah, who like are Kevin, alcoholics.
Right, being like Kevin.
How dare you, sir?
But doctor, it seems like there have to be a lot of people, and many who are listening to this broadcast right now, who aren't alcoholics but do drink too much sometimes and do kind of need a reset button where they don't let it get out of control, where they go, all right, now I've gone too far, but I can certainly scale it back. There have to be a lot of people like that, right?
Yes, and that's probably a heterogeneous group. That's probably not one thing. That's probably a group of different kinds of problems, emotionally and otherwise, and they need to be carefully sorted through and treated appropriately. So I'm all for it. It's just a little bit treacherous because so many of the people that really do need to look hard at this are already finding reasons not to, and
right,
I don't want this to be another reason for them not. It's so funny. Once again, everyone, like, even you, Kay, you expect me to be the man. I want everybody to stop using substances. No, that's not my goal.
That's you.
No, that's not me.
That's you.
My goal is to help people stop who can't. So I deal with the very, very advanced stuff, the stuff where people are really, if they don't, they're going to die, and I'm interested in that. I want to help people with that. Go ahead.
He did. The doctor did say when he came in that they do screen them, and if they get the idea that these people are alcoholics or they are having
too, or they're too sick,
too many consequences, or they're too sick, that they say, we're not for you. You need to go to a full-on rehab.
And being, I know, in Kevin, the thought bubble over Kevin's head was, how are we going to get through that? How are we going to go around that? I'm going to make sure I pass that test.
I think you have a low opinion of me, Dr. Drew.
And I think Dr. Drew would be surprised to find out that most of America looks at you as a party pooper. We do expect you to shut down anything that's fun. If we want to drink or we want to smoke the weed or whatever it is, you're the guy who's always in the back of our head going, no, don't do it.
Nope, not the potty pooper. Not potty.
Wow. Potty pooper's very different.
Dr. Drew works Loveline with Mike Catherwood Sunday through Thursday nights here on KREC. Of course, you can see him on HLN every night at 9. And this is going to be a fun show. The reunion tour with Adam Carolla and the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center is going to be a week from Saturday, April 13th at 8. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. By the way, buy a ticket to that show and you get a glass of the delicious new Mangria White, which Adam explained to us on Monday is for chicks and Dr. Drew. So if that's your alcohol taste, it's perfect. Thanks, Doc.
All right, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Remix. Hey, Brian Fuller, he's a big-time TV guy. Ralph, he's going to be joining us right after the top of the hour to talk about his new show called Hannibal.
Yeah.
Looks good, awesome. Right?
That Hannibal, I don't know. I got a weird feeling from Hannibal. He seems like a guy I wouldn't trust. I don't know why. I just get a sense that this character is going to be a little bit dangerous.
You're just suspicious of everybody. You said the same thing about Norman Bates over there at the Bates Motel. He just seems like a real nice kid to me. I don't know what's going on with you.
Get a distinct hinky vibe from these guys.
Get a hinky vibe about everyone.
It's weird. All right, 8:53, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat now on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
First and foremost, I want to give you something because I love you. How about passes to not just an advanced screening of a movie, but a red carpet world premiere of a movie?
Yeah!
And not just any movie. How about a movie starring Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman?
What?
How about a movie called Oblivion?
Oh, it looks good.
Love it.
Tom Cruise is the last man on Earth until he discovers a secret that pretty much shatters everything he knows about the world that has been attacked. Everyone's fled, or so he thinks. Until he meets up with Morgan Freeman. This thing looks awesome. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 19th. However, I've got tickets to the red carpet world premiere that's happening Wednesday, April the 10th at the Dolby Theater. Would you like to go? Of course you would. We'll call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through, get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Oblivion.
You have to say it that way?
You have to.
Okay.
It's drama. You need the drama. Also, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show on Friday this week. A little bit different. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. up at the John Lovitz at Universal City Walk. So come on up and see us. You can get your tickets at CSMOD, CSMOD.com. Come on up and see the show because it's funny and Kevin gets very stoned. How can you love it?
Do.
It's crap. Sorry. Confused by all the sound that's coming in.
Me too. This week is unbelievable.
Just really, you two just need to... Get your acts together.
I don't know that
please?
I blame either of us.
I blame you both. How about that?
I don't know what's happening.
How about Beer Mug? Can we blame Beer Mug?
Yes, let's blame him.
All right, that we can agree on.
Sorry.
No.
Fire Beer Mug.
For a lovely listening experience. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to the people with the radios.
Sorry, people with the radios.
Flavor Flav and then Fiance are currently filming Couples Therapy on VH1.
Flavor Flav and Beyonce are filming a show together?
I'm pretty sure I said fiance, didn't I?
Oh, fiance. Sorry. Yeah. Heard that wrong. Now who do I blame for that?
You.
That's only on you. That's a take it back.
You are a
killer of comedy?
Today especially, you've just been like throwing down spike strips on the freeway of comedy.
What else
just
did I
constantly,
do that?
Constantly. It's been nonstop.
What
with
else
you.
Have I done besides that?
Well,
that might have been a little bit of a reach. I concede that. But what else have I done today? I think today I've been pretty on point.
Earlier today when you were talking to poor Shaquille O'Neal, I know he's got like two catchphrases, and you burned one in the intro as you were talking to him. I felt bad for Shaq. That was probably inconvenient for him trying to do his interview. That must have been difficult.
Poor Shaq.
I remember you insisting that Jay Leno has an operatic voice and was actually singing in that Tonight Show duet. You're on some weird, hopped up on goofballs hallucinogenic terror today.
It's a blockade of comedy. I didn't hear the Leno clip. I heard the Fallon one that Kevin played, and I think that was Jimmy Fallon. So I don't know about the Leno one. I assumed
that
they were both singing.
But you insisted that Jay Leno was singing. Well, there's just no way in hell that that's possible.
I didn't hear it. It seemed to me like Fallon.
Pipe the hell down.
Shut the F up if you don't know. I recused myself. All right, good.
All right. Back to you, Ralph. Flavor Flav and his fiance.
He's engaged to Beyonce.
Liz Trujillo are filming Couples Therapy on VH1. By the way, has any couple ever come out of Couples Therapy on VH1 any better off than they went
Never.
In?
Never.
No.
Not to my knowledge.
Never, ever.
She was rushed to the hospital. Now, VH1 originally told E! News because she had an accidental overdose on painkillers. However, there must have been some sort of serious miscommunication because her reps are saying that she was simply exhausted from filming the TV show all night long. A third party is saying she actually swallowed a giant clock.
Really?
So that might have been, they had to pump her stomach to get the clock out. So we're not really sure what her problem is, but she's in the hospital and apparently recovering soon. So we'll see. Zoe Saldana.
Yes.
Who's just beautiful and talented, who's made her share of sci-fi movies, including Avatar and Star Trek, is now reportedly talking to producers about the lead roles in one of the upcoming Marvel movies, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Can't wait for this one.
Now, who are they? Who are the Guardians?
It's a long story, but they're a group of super heroic characters who are battling to save the galaxy.
The Claw. There's Milkshake Man.
No, there's a Badoon. She would be play one of the Badoons, a green screen humanoid who is the last of a species that was exterminated by a race known as the Badoon.
I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Is this a completely separate universe of characters from the
different
Marvel
than Avengers and any of that stuff?
Okay.
Yeah, this is a brand new project, but it would be great if she was in it. And while I talk about new projects, this is a fascinating story, and I think Tim Burton's the guy to tell it. It's a movie called Big Eyes, and it's a movie about the painter Margaret Keane. Now, you may not know her name, but you probably know her work. Have you ever seen those cheesy pictures of, like, the little kids holding a puppy with those giant round saucer eyes?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah.
Big-eyed kids? She made a ton of money selling those paintings. But there was a famous court battle between her and her husband over who really painted the pictures.
What? She didn't even paint them?
Well, there was a battle about it. He claimed that he was responsible. She claimed she was. And this movie is about their relationship and that battle. Christoph Waltz and Amy Adams cast a star.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty strong, right?
That's way strong.
That is good news. And Justin Bieber, please come to the German hangar and pick up your monkey. Apparently the Germans want to know where Bieber is. They still have his monkey.
That's a lost and found, I think.
They would like him to pick it up. It's just sitting on one of those revolving luggage carousels, just sitting there waiting for somebody to come
looking
by.
All hungry.
Bieber tried to get the monkey into Germany. He didn't have the proper documentation, so the Germans put it in quarantine. Now they say they're ready for the rightful owner to pick up the monkey. Bieber, of course, is now back here in the States spitting on neighbors, so he is busy and can't really claim his monkey. They say if he doesn't show up in a month, they're going to have to give it to a monkey shelter.
Just give it to the shelter.
I don't want to know what a German monkey shelter looks like. They're all walking around in little striped outfits. Don't want to take a shower there, that's all I know. Today's celebrity birthdays: Craig T. Nelson, 69 years old today. David E. Kelly's 57. Hugo Weaving, what a great actor. Remember the Matrix movies? He was Agent Smith.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Anderson.
53 years old today. David Cross is 49. Robert Downey Jr., Tony Mother Effin' Stark himself, is 48. Josh Todd, singer for Buckcherry, is 42. David Blaine is 40. Is he doing any magic anymore, or is he just sitting at nice?
I don't know.
Natasha Lyonne is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Imagine Dragons on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we're opening up the phone lines right now for you to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to be giving away tickets for the How You Like Me Now section of our sold-out Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. The show is going to be Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Kevin, what are we looking for this time on the phones?
We are looking for people who want to go to the show.
Right.
Yes.
We're going to play Total Recall.
So oh, that's what it is. Okay,
we're going to give you a category. You have a certain amount of seconds to come up with answers.
We don't need to describe the game
time.
Now.
All right.
We just need people who want to go to the show. That's all we need. 1-800-520-1067. You get a chance to win your way in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we've all been hearing about it for a long time. It finally arrives tonight on NBC, 10 o'clock. The show is called Hannibal, executive producer and the man who wrote the episode. And is this correct to say you created the show as well, Brian Fuller?
Well, I would say that Thomas Harris created the show, and I got to interpret it.
There you go, because he, of course, is the guy who wrote the books, the Red Dragon books and the Silence of the Lambs and those great books that turned into those great movies. And now it's coming to TV with a completely different spin. And it is a fascinating show, Brian. I got a chance to see this first episode. Well done, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad that you got to see it.
Now, what happens when you're adapting something with a character as well known as Hannibal Lecter? What's the meeting like where you go, all right, how are we going to attack this one for a new show, a new audience?
Well, I think for me, it was just about what new are we going to see, and that has to validate the new show. We have to do something different. And in the books and in the movies, we've seen Hannibal incarcerated and post-incarceration as a fugitive, and we've seen him as a young man, but we've never seen this chapter of his life when he was a practicing cannibal and a practicing psychiatrist, which is when he was having the most fun.
Yes.
So this is fun.
So this is before he ever got caught, basically.
Yes, and it's the bromance between Will Graham and Hannibal Lecter, and we saw in Red Dragon that Hannibal Lecter says to this young troubled profiler, you're more like me than you think, and that's why you caught me. So this is sort of like the nature of the show.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, Mads Mikkelsen, ladies, you may not know the name, but he was the villain in Casino Royale. He's done a bunch of other stuff you've seen. He's super dreamy, right? Like, the women love this dude, right? Even though he's playing a serial killer.
Oh, yeah, he's sexy. Not just the women. Like, anybody who likes a good-looking man will like this guy.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's pretty dreamy. Now, I'm a little bit concerned, Brian, with your Will Graham, because he's another guy on TV who sort of flirts with Asperger syndrome, which I have been accused of having. And every time there's somebody on TV with Asperger syndrome, people always make fun of me about it. So now everybody's going to say, oh, you have the same thing as Will Graham on The Hannibal Show. You're going to start killing people. It's no good for me, dude.
Well, it's a really good excuse to be kind of an a-hole.
Well, and
like,
being,
I have Asperger's, I can't help it.
And that's what Bean does as well. How dare
that's
you?
Exactly how he handles it.
Great cast. We mentioned Hugh Dancy, I guess, is playing Will Graham, and then we mentioned Mads Mikkelsen, and then you also have Lawrence Fishburne. Now, he has always had a huge head, but I feel like now, he's turning into a lollipop, dude. His head, have you ever seen a guy whose skull has grown so much as an adult? It's huge.
Well, I think that I've seen bigger heads. So everything's on a scale of relativity for me.
I love the fact that he has a big head, because I have a big head, and I would stand next to him and I'd look okay.
That I feel adds more bad for his mother than I do him.
Yeah, that's a good point. That does add so much gravitas to a series, especially a new one that you're trying to get eyeballs on out of the gate, when you got a guy like Lawrence Fishburne, who's just a great actor. You must have been so thrilled to get him.
Oh, I was over the moon. And what I loved is his approach to the character, which was a different interpretation of the actors that we've seen before, but also kind of homaging Scott Glenn, who he worked with in one of his first pictures, Apocalypse Now. So he always called Scott Glenn one of his uncles from that experience. So Lawrence was very eager to not only homage him, but honor him and also step into his shoes as an adult.
Yeah. How's it been working, doing a show like this that, let's face it, I mean, we all know enough about the story to know that, you know, people get their organs eaten. Is it tough getting some of this stuff past NBC to get them to put it on broadcast TV? I know you got a little bit of advantage being on at 10 p.m., but have they been tough on you?
They haven't been terribly tough. I mean, there's some stuff where we have, you know, shots of intestines being removed from abdominal cavities, if they're like, okay, you can show the cavity and you can show the intestines, but you can't show it coming out. Which, you know,
those kind of differences is just crazy, right? Little nitpicking differences.
Oh, it's amazing. But, you know, they're sort of doing their jobs to,
of course,
so they don't get harassed by advertisers and conservatives. But they absolutely let us put on a horror show, and I don't think we would have gotten away with the level of graphic imagery that we have on the show on any other network. I think
that's interesting.
They let us go pretty far. They know they're doing a horror movie, so
right.
And they know the show's called Hannibal Lecter, and we have a lot of ridiculous stuff happening on the show that we giggle about, and then when you see it, it's horrifying, but it's so operatic, which is the nature of the Thomas Harris novels. I mean, you have a guy who wants to be a woman, so he makes a woman suit out of real women. There's a certain expectation of a different approach to serial killing.
Yeah. We're going to hear a clip from the show that we're talking about called Hannibal, which debuts tonight on NBC at 10. We're on the phone with we'll call him the creator, Brian Fuller. Of course, it's based on the famous characters from the Thomas Harris books. But I have to ask, because it's been kind of rumored about Gillian Anderson maybe joining the cast, being on the series as a regular or semi-regular. Is that going to happen? Because that would be so awesome to get her back on American TV.
It's happened. We've shot him, and we've shot those episodes. We're done with the first 13 episodes.
Oh, wow.
We're filming them. And Gillian is in four of them, and she's spectacular because she plays Hannibal Lecter's psychiatrist.
Oh, no kidding.
She has this very specific relationship with him, and they have their own secrets. And what you have are two very cool, icy, sexy people and a room, and that just, you can't help but have some sexual tension.
That sounds great. All right, let's listen to this clip. Lawrence Fishburne plays an awesome FBI agent, and he is talking to this Will Graham guy that we mentioned is a little Asperger, who kind of has a way to break down cases. He sees things that others don't, and they're kind of discussing the case that they're looking into on tonight's Hannibal.
He couldn't show her he loved her, so he put her corpse back where he killed it, whatever crazy that is.
You think he loves these girls?
He loves one of them. And yes, I think by association, he has some form of love for the others.
There was no semen. There was no saliva. Elise Nichols died a virgin. She stayed that way.
That's not how he's loving them. He wouldn't disrespect them that way. He doesn't want these girls to suffer. He kills them quickly and, to his thinking, with mercy.
I respect that. I respect that a lot.
I arrest that guy immediately just for knowing that.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys. He's on the case. Well, I can't recommend this show enough, folks. You got to check it out at 10 tonight on NBC. And Mr. Fuller, I couldn't let you go without saying one more thing, which is thank you personally as someone who has had a mad crush on Carolyn DeVernis ever since Wonderfalls for getting her back on a TV show here in America.
Yay! I love that woman. I think she is stunningly beautiful and an amazing actress, and I couldn't wait to work with her again. I'm so glad that you...
I was so psyched. So psyched to have her back on my TV. Tonight at 10 and every Thursday night on NBC. Always great to have you on, Brian. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, Lady Lisa.
Thank you.
Hey!
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 I think we need to get together on that. A little more. It's a world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Saturday night, Gibson Amphitheater, sold out. Kevin and Bean, April Foolishness 2013. Another brilliant night of comedy for great local charities. If you want to be up close in the How You Like Me Now section with the party ahead of time and the VIP parking and the T-shirt and the whole deal, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're timed to play a game called Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, oh yeah! Total Recall, tickets to foolishness, that's what you will win. All you have to do is recall, oh yeah!
This is a game that's a lot of fun to play. I think it's fun to listen to. It must be terrifying to be a contestant because I'm going to throw a category out to you and then you're going to have 10 seconds to name five things in that category, which with the clock ticking is pretty hard, right, guys?
It's fast.
Yeah, it goes fast. And it's when you first hear the category, a lot of times you go easy. But then to get them in 10 seconds is very
10
difficult.
Seconds, right. So if you're able to do it, you go into the drawing. Someone wins How You Like Me Now tickets for April Foolishness. Kevin, who's our first contestant?
Dennis, who's a student at Cal State Northridge. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Dennis, have you ever heard us play this game before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Good luck to you, my friend. Here you go. In 10 seconds, name five Will Ferrell movies. Five Will Ferrell movies. Good luck.
Talladega Night, Old School, Anchorman. Saturday Night Live.
Oh, see, that's why this game is hard.
Did you say Saturday Night Live?
He did. He was. I know that you know Blades of Glory, and you know the other guys, and you know Elf. You know all those movies, but when the pressure's on, it's really tough, right?
Thanks for playing.
Thanks for playing. Anyway,
let's go to Sean, heating and air conditioner. Hi, Sean.
Hey, morning, bar people.
Hey, Sean.
All right, Sean, good luck. You're playing for April Foolishness tickets. Name five spaces on the Monopoly board. Five spaces on the board for the game Monopoly. Good luck.
Boardwalk, Park Place, Mediterranean, Reading Railroad, and... Free parking.
Oh, so close. Oh. No, you did really, really well there, man.
Oh, Sean.
Sorry.
But lost.
All right. But lost. Thank you for playing. It's a tough game, you guys.
This is a tough game.
That's why it's fun. Let's go to John, who's a window tinter. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Hello, Lisa May.
Hello, John.
Don't call him a window licker. You don't even know if he's even can play the game or not, Kevin. Let's at least wait till he loses to start giving him names. All right, John, how are you feeling about
Monopoly? Good. I'm just saying, I got a new Monopoly spaces. I must play a lot of Monopoly because who remembers anything about Monopoly?
Not me.
No, that was impressive. Good. He came up with four. That was good.
Extremely impressive.
All right, let's see. Are you a sports fan at all, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I want you
I'm voting think, against John.
I think this one's pretty easy. I want you to name five cities with Major League Baseball teams. We're looking for the names of the cities that have Major League Baseball teams. Good luck.
Los Angeles, Anaheim, New York, New Jersey, Tampa Bay, Florida, Miami.
Wow. Wow, I can't accept New Jersey. I can't accept Florida. I don't think you got five in 10 seconds. I'm sorry. That's why I said city, by the way. Thank you for playing,
so
though. All right,
sorry.
Are we in sudden death now, you guys?
Yes, we are.
No drawing. If you're able to do it, you win it.
Irene.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How have you been doing so far on hold?
I'm nervous. My palms are sweaty.
Okay.
That's all right. Don't let that worry you.
All right. Good luck. 10 seconds on the clock. I need you to name for me five famous bald people. Five famous bald people. Good luck.
Bruce Willis. Donald Trump.
The opposite of bald, but...
Wow. Swift
Bruce
breeze.
Willis
sure
was good. There could have Magic Johnson would have come to mind, or Michael Chiklis, or Seal, or Larry David. Of course,
Dana
it's
White.
Easy to say after. Yeah, Dana White. Howie Mandel. I mean, there's a LL Cool J. There's a lot of them. But
by
again,
the way, Donald hard. Trump may be true. We just don't know for sure.
Yeah.
We think he has hair.
Thank you, Irene.
All right. Sudden death continues. Who's next?
Next is Renee. Hello, Renee.
Hey, how you guys doing? Fire beer mug.
Fire beer mug, indeed. Congratulations. You won the tickets. No, we really want to give these away, so I'm pulling for you, okay? You ready?
I think so.
10 seconds on the clock. Name five pizza toppings. Five pizza toppings. Good luck.
Pepperoni, sausage, onions, bacon, Canadian bacon.
Sure. Why the hell not? Bacon and Canadian bacon are two separate things. You can have either one on a pizza. Congratulations, you're going.
Yay. How about that?
Good job, Renee.
You're the winner. Thank you.
Awesome. He clearly is a big meat eater because I don't think it even occurred to him to have, you know, mushrooms or onions or peppers or olives. He was like, every kind of pig item I can name, I'm going to meet.
Hey, you know, it's the easiest thing, right?
That's right. How You Like Me Now, section sold out. Kevin to be the April Foolishness 2013. We'll see you at the party Saturday night. Thanks for playing Total Recall. Total Recall. We've got time for one more look at the show biz beat. Now, Ralph Garman joins us here on K-Rock.
Welcome to the beat. It's good to be here. You know, as our United States Supreme Court, greatest court in the land, currently debates the merits of both sides of the argument as to whether same-sex couples should be allowed to marry or not.
Mm-hmm.
I often find myself thinking, I wish more British actors would speak out on the subject so I would know how to feel.
Because it affects them a lot.
So finally, someone has pinned down Academy Award-winning actor Jeremy Irons on the subject.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Now, I have fairly strong feelings in favor of same-sex marriage. I believe gay couples should be allowed to marry if they so choose to. It doesn't seem like it would affect me in any sort of negative way. I can't say it would possibly harm my marriage in any way if gay couples got married. And yet, I haven't considered all of the possible ramifications. That's why I'm glad Jeremy Irons was asked in this interview about what could go wrong if gay couples were allowed to marry. And I had not considered this point.
Could a father not marry his son?
Well, there are laws against incest.
It's not incest between men. Incest is there to protect us from having inbreeding. But men don't breed, therefore they... So incest wouldn't cover that. Now, if that was so... Then if I wanted to pass on my estate without death duties, I could marry my son and pass on my estate to him.
No, that sounds like a total red herring.
No, there you go. That's the problem. If gay couples are allowed to marry, you're going to see tons of fathers marrying their sons as a tax dodge. That's a real concern.
I have to be honest, I never considered that
I
point.
Never did either.
I didn't either.
The minute that happens, you're going to see all kinds of dads saying, son, will you marry me? And they're going to have elaborate weddings and then just be passing money back and forth. Why didn't we not consider this before? Now I can't possibly agree with gay marriage.
Now, I don't know why.
I never thought about the son-dad marriage factor.
Yeah, I don't know why he had to make it all creepy with sons and dads. But there have been people, Ralph, for reals, and tell me why this isn't a concern, that people will fake gay marriage, like in that Chuck and Larry movie. They will fake gay marriage for benefits. Two single people who want...
Well,
you know,
straight
get,
people can do
straight
that.
People do that too.
I don't see two single men and women faking it for benefits.
But yeah. I'm sure they do.
I guess could. They do.
I suppose
certainly
they do.
But it doesn't seem like it's an epidemic of that problem.
No,
running
it doesn't.
Around.
I think it's a minor.
What about fathers
problem?
And sons?
What about fathers and sons?
Fathers started marrying their sons. And then mothers started marrying their daughters. And the next thing you know, cousins will marry tea kettles. And then doorways will be marrying stairwells. And then the whole thing goes to poppycock and rot.
He also sounds like he's really put a lot of thought into that.
This is his biggest concern. What if my son wants to marry me when this is all over? How would I say no?
Can't turn him down. I love him.
Tried hard to game the system, isn't he?
I would be so embarrassed. My son proposes to me and I have to say no. This way I could just say it's illegal. But now I'll have to break his heart.
Madness.
That is kind of bizarre.
But
thanks for the laughs, Jeremy. Still love that voice.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest voice.
Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Sure.
Kesha's back in the news. You know Kesha, remember she said she had sex with a ghost?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This sexual experience makes about as much sense. She recently said in an interview that she and Johnny Depp had eyeball sex.
I hope that was from a distance.
I'm not quite sure. What if their eyeballs want to get married? Then what do we do? They were at a benefit concert for Superstorm Sandy in Los Angeles, and she told Metro UK, a newspaper in the UK, as you can imagine, that she and Johnny Depp had eyeball sex. We never really talked. We just had eyeball sex, she said. Here's what happened. You kept looking and staring at Johnny Depp.
Right.
He glanced over at you at one point, Kesha, and then quickly averted his eyes from your skanky self.
I would like to hear his version of this story.
It was eyeball coitus interruptus, I guarantee you, because he closed his eyes as quickly as possible. Stop it. With having sex with ghosts and eyeballs and everything. Just have regular sex.
I don't think anyone wants
to have regular sex with her. That's the problem. She has to find all kinds of
She's all crazy, Ralph.
She
you know
is.
That.
She brushes her teeth with Jack Daniels in the
she
morning.
She does.
TikTok.
Necklace of teeth.
With nuts. And lastly, in our pantheon of weirdness, Germany has told Justin Bieber to please come and pick up his monkey. Authorities there took away his 14-week-old capuchin monkey named Molly when he tried to get into the country to perform concerts there because he didn't have the proper documentation. They put the monkey into quarantine. However, that quarantine now has passed, and they would like the rightful owner to pick up the monkey and take it back to where it belongs. As of yet, Bieber has not shown up with the proper documentation or apparently the concern to pick up his monkey.
What a surprise.
And bring it home because he's busy driving around Calabasas in a Ferrari 100 miles an hour at 8 o'clock in the morning and spitting on his neighbors. So no word of what happened to Molly, the 14-week-old monkey. However, they do say, the people there at the shelter who are currently holding on to her, that she's way too young to be separated from her mother anyway at 14 weeks, so that she never should have been a pet in the first place.
Well, I'm sure Bieber was very attentive as well.
And they say the monkey seemed disoriented when they got a hold of it. How do you tell whether a monkey's disoriented
or not,
by the way? Do you ever see one of those monkeys? All they do is jump around the room and swing from chandeliers and stuff and everything. That's why they're disoriented. They're jumping around too damn much. Sit down, relax, pop a beer. Watch a little Southland. That'll calm you down. You won't be so disoriented.
What if Justin wants to marry the monkey?
What
Have
if,
you thought about that?
What if Bieber starts marrying his monkey for tax reasons? Then what happens to marriage?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Natasha Lyonne is 34 years old.
Ralph,
today.
I think you know we're talking to Jeremy Irons at tomorrow's show about all of his questions about gay marriage. I think you already see that coming, right?
David Blaine, the magician, is 40 years old today. Josh Todd of Buck Cherry is 42. Robert Downey Jr. just doesn't get any better than RDG, Jay.
whatever his
name is.
Initials are.
48. David Cross is 49. Hugo Weaving is 53. David E. Kelly is 57. And it's also actor Craig T. Nelson's birthday today. He's 69 years old. He, of course, of Parenthood, Coach, Poltergeist. I mentioned this earlier in the show, and thanks to the listener who was kind enough to dig up the clip and send it to me. This is Craig T. Nelson, who is a self-professed conservative on the Glenn Beck Show, talking about how the fact he's incensed that Obama's programs, many of them seem to be concerned about just bailing people out. He's always bailing businesses out, and this is supposed to be America, where if you don't rise to the occasion, you fail and you go bankrupt, and that's the way it should be. And that's the way it was in his life. Here's a little quote from Craig T. Nelson.
We are a capitalistic society. Okay, I go into business, I don't make it, I go bankrupt. They're not going to bail me out. I've been on food stamps and welfare. Anybody help me out? No.
Well, wait a minute. Well, actually, Craig, if you've been on food stamps and welfare,
oh my God.
That's helping you out.
By definition, they actually were helping you out.
But happy birthday, Craig. Mm-hmm. Someone give him a candle. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I have to talk to him tomorrow, too. Just Jeremy Iron.
What if Craig D. Nelson wants to marry his food stamps?
We have a huge show tomorrow. It's Friday. We got the movie beat. Ralph will be here to tell you about all the movies. From the Angels, we've got C.J. Wilson on the program talking about the new baseball season.
By the way, I know you don't care much about baseball, Kevin, but his longtime girlfriend is a Brazilian supermodel.
All right.
If you want to find out what
let's
that's
have her
all
on.
About.
We talk to her instead. From the Clippers, we have Matt Barnes, who, of course, used to play for the Lakers, and they're going to play the Lakers this Sunday. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow from the Los Angeles Clippers. Is a bacon condom a real thing? We believe so, and I think we're going to talk to the guy who came up with it.
I don't want to fry it up before I have to use it. I know that much.
And we've got Mike Realm in the studio talking about April Foolishness and his part in it, which is going to be fantastic. And we've got your tickets in the How You Like Me Now section for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness all tomorrow morning on All News.